Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Who do we have left? Britney Spears. Cam Kardashian. Paris Hilton. And that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global.
I mean, the lines are blowing up.
Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E. Oh, look at you. All right, everybody, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Gary Hammer. Hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. Boy, he was powerful. This is a no-win situation. I'll give you a call in about an hour and a half. You know what I mean? I survived it, and I'm at the end of it.
To Hammer Radio Network 96.7 BTR Radio. I'm Brian Hammer Jackson. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the show. We have an interesting subject today. We'll talk about it. But first, if you'd like to call in the show, you're going to need the number 319-527-6099. 319-527-6099. That's the number that'll get you in. That's the number your voice will be heard globally around the world. As you can tell, I haven't been up every day because I've been working on things that are just beautiful. That will launch independent artists, give them some recognition. And also original programming. Welcome to the show, everybody. Today's main subject is, you know, the cult leader, the crybaby, the disgraced former president, dumb Donald Trump. Well, he's back to being crazy again. See, I stopped talking about this idiot long ago, this mental giant. But he just can't stand not having his name mentioned in the news every day. It's like a drug. He can't do it. He has to have his name. Somebody has to say his name. And, you know, like a narcissistic pig that he is, doesn't matter if it's good or bad, as long as somebody's talking about him. I'm sure there's a mental illness for that. That's what's going on. Well, you know, when you're a kid, you don't know much better. So you say you get caught, you do stupid lies. You know, Brian, why were you late? I got hit by a car. Tree fell on me. Wagon fell on me. Indians attacked me. You know, just ridiculous, stupid stuff. You're a kid, you don't know better. Donald claimed to only hire the best people. And the best people leave. And then he claims that they're idiots. Because you were hired by an idiot. Well, I knew this guy was on a mental decline 8 years ago. But it was nice to see an idiot head explode during his being president. Then it got boring. Then he was gone. Then he was back. Then he was gone. Then he's back. Now we have to talk about his stupid ass. Let's start off with the book, Peril. It may give us an insight on the kind of mind that we're dealing with. We'll talk about it on the other side. Not everybody bought the book. But here's a little bit of book about it. This is Bob Woodward's and Robert Costa book, Peril on Trump.
Create a crisis, present himself as the savior, and use the gambit to win re-election. Milley knew the Chinese assertion that the U.S. was planning a secret strike was preposterous. He had then called General Li on the same back channel to persuade the Chinese to cool down. He invoked their long-standing relationship and insisted the U.S. was not planning an attack. At the time, he believed he had been successful in placating Li, who would pass the message to Chinese President Xi Jinping. But now, 2 months later, on January 8th, it was evident China's fears had only been intensified by the insurrection. "We don't understand the Chinese," Milley told senior staff, "and the Chinese don't understand us." That was dangerous in itself, but there was more. Milley had witnessed up close how Trump was routinely impulsive and unpredictable. Making matters even more dire, Milley was certain Trump had gone into a serious mental decline in the aftermath of the election, with Trump now all but manic, screaming at officials and constructing his own alternate reality about endless election conspiracies. The scenes of a screaming Trump in the Oval Office resembled Full Metal Jacket, the 1987 movie featuring a Marine gunnery sergeant who viciously rages at recruits with dehumanizing obscenities. "You never know what a president's trigger point is," Milley told senior staff. "When might events and pressures come together to cause a president to order military action?" In making the president the commander-in-chief of the military, a tremendous concentration of power in one person, the Constitution gave the president the authority single-handedly to employ the armed forces as he chose. Milley believed that Trump did not want a war, but he certainly was willing to launch military strikes, as he had done in Iran, Somalia, Yemen, and Syria. "I continually reminded him," Milley said, "depending on where and what you strike, you could find yourself in a war." While the public's attention was on the domestic political fallout from the Capitol riot, Milley privately recognized the U.S. had been thrust into a new period of extraordinary risk internationally. It was precisely the kind of hair-trigger environment where an accident or misinterpretation could escalate catastrophically. It was all unfolding fast and out of public view, which in some ways resembled the tensions during the Cuban Missile Crisis of October 1962, when the U.S. and the Soviet Union almost went to war. Milley, 62, a former Princeton hockey player, burly and ramrod straight at 5'9", did not know what China would do next. But he did know, after 39 years in the Army and many bloody combat tours, that an adversary was the most dangerous when they were frightened and believed they might be attacked. "If an adversary like China ever desired," he said, "they could choose to do what's called a first move advantage or a Pearl Harbor and conduct a strike." The Chinese were investing in a sweeping expansion of their military to almost superpower status. Just 16 months earlier, at a stunning military parade in Tiananmen Square in Beijing, President Xi, the most powerful Chinese leader since Mao Zedong, had said, "There is no force that can stop the Chinese people and the Chinese nation forging ahead." The Chinese also revealed their latest game-changing weapon, a hypersonic missile that could travel at 5 times the speed of sound. Milley told senior staff, "There are capabilities in cyber or in space where you could do some really significant damage to a large, industrial, complex society like the United States, and you could do that very, very quickly through some very powerful tools that are out there. China is building all of these capabilities." China was also aggressively staging war games and sending military planes daily toward the island of Taiwan, the independent offshore nation that China considered theirs and the U.S. had pledged to protect. The previous year, General Li had announced that China would resolutely smash Taiwan if necessary. Taiwan alone was a powder keg. In the South China Sea, China was on the march like never before.
Well, that's a little bit of what Donald Trump was about in the White House, that people came forward, talked to Bob Woodward about. Because Trump, remember, said he only hires the best people, and that's according to his people, that he was basically crazy. The prologue of Peril is the cult leader asks his moron subjects to overthrow the Capitol and decertify the election. And the morons did it. And he still believes to this day that he's president because the election was stolen from him. But he's president. He's president who lives in Florida in a hotel room. Here's the prologue. 2 days after January 6, 2021, violent assault on the United States Capitol by supporters of the disgrace, embarrassed, dumb Donald, the reject, the pussy grabber, President Donald Trump. Well, here's what happened. General Mark Milley, the nation's senior military officer and chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, he placed an urgent call on a top secret. This is on a top secret back channel at 7:30 a.m. to his Chinese counterpart, General Li. Well, the chief of the Joint Staff of the People's Liberation Army in China, Milley, knew from extensive reports that Li and the Chinese leadership were stunned and disoriented by the television images of the unprecedented attack on American legislator. Li fired off questions to Milley. This is the Chinese general. They had to calm him down because Donald Trump is acting like a fool. So the Chinese general was a little upset. He wanted to ask some questions. So this was urgent. So Li fired off questions to Milley. Was the American superpower? Was the American superpower in a situation that cannot be stopped? Is everything okay? So these are the things that are happening across the world with dumb Donald at its best. And it took about an hour and a half, 45 minutes of substance due to the necessary use of interpreters to try to assure him everything was fine. When Milley hung up, he was convinced the situation was grave. Li remained unusually rattled, putting the two nations on the knife edge of disaster. Of course, Milley was saying that, you know, sometimes when you're in a democracy, it's sloppy sometimes. No, it's not sloppy sometimes. It's not. It is not sloppy sometimes. You know, the Chinese already were on a high alert about the U.S. intentions. For instance, on October 30th, 4 days before the presidential election, sensitive intelligence showed that the Chinese believed the U.S. was plotting to secretly attack them. The Chinese thought that Trump What's cray-cray? They really believe that Trump was going to attack him. So Millie had to calm their little Chinese ass down again and say, we're not going to attack you. If we were, I would call you and let you know. But it still made the Chinese a little nervous. He said, you try to calm down Lee. He invoked their long-standing relationship and insisted that U.S. was not planning an attack at the time. He believed he had been successful in placating Lee, who would pass the message to Chinese President Xi. Xi. But now, 2 months later, on January 8th, it was evident China's fears had only been intensified by the insurrection. We don't understand the Chinese, Millie told the senior staff, and the Chinese don't understand that's bullshit. That was dangerous in itself, but there was more. Millie had witnessed up close how Trump was routinely impulsive and unpredictable, making matters even more dire. This guy is just a blooming idiot. You know, I stopped reporting on this guy because he's such a dumb fuck. And I don't know if he's stupid or if he's going into mental retardation or if he was retarded in the first place. I don't know. Well, this is all in the book Perils. Because, you know, when this was happening, it was unfolding fast and out of the public view, which in some ways resembled the tensions during the China missile crisis of October of 62 when the U.S. and the Soviet Union almost went to war. And Millie, 62, a former, well, you already heard it, a hockey player, blah, blah, blah. Who cares? Millie had misled General Lee when he claimed that the United States was 100% steady. Just turn on your, don't look at your TV, General Lee. We're steady as a rock. We love democracy. Don't listen to how people want to hang Pence and kill Pelosi. Don't even worry about that. Fake news. To this day, Millie believed that shit was planned. Our own general. Coordinated. It was synchronized. To attack the very heart of American democracy. Designed to overthrow the government to prevent the constitutional certification of a lifetime. Certification of a legitimate election won by Joe Biden. It's true. Trump believed that the election was rigged, which it was not. Even the ridiculous people in Arizona said, no, we did the tally, and you're right, it was wrong. Biden won by more votes. Millie's executive officer came into the office and passed him a hidden, a handwritten note. Speaker Pelosi would like to speak to you as soon as possible. The topic was secession. Pelosi asked, Pelosi brought up President Richard Nixon, who had been forced to resign in 1974 because of Watergate. We all know Tricky Dick. We used to get drunk in a White House and used to talk to the carpet and sit there cross-legged and cry, start screaming at the paintings and start talking to the paintings on the wall in the White House. You guys remember Tricky Dick? Trump is a lot worse than that, they're saying. And Pelosi thought so. Nixon did far less, and the Republicans said to him, you have to go, not even in the same league of things, you have to go. The Republicans are all enablers of this behavior, and I just wonder, does anybody have any sanity at the White House? Say don't go there. They put up this fraudulent, he says he doesn't have anything to do with it, video yesterday because they know they're in trouble, this is bad, But who knows what he might do? He's crazy. You know he's crazy. He's been crazy for a long time. This is Pelosi talking about Trump. So don't say you don't know what state of his mind is. He's crazy. He's a crazy as bat shit. I added the bat shit. It needed more flavor. He developed a phrase, what he called the absolute darkest moment of the theoretical possibility. It was both nuance and real. It was a dark and theoretical possibility that President Dumbfuck Trump could go rogue and order military action or the use of a nuclear weapon without going through the required procedures. Milley felt no absolute certainty that the military could control or trust Dumbfuck Trump. Milley believed it was his job as a senior military officer to think the unthinkable, take any and all necessary precautions. He considered himself a closest historian about the and had thousands of books in his personal library. Pulling a Schillinger, what was needed to contain this madman, Trump. Milley saw alarming parallels between Nixon and Trump. In 1974, Nixon had grown increasingly irrational and isolated. Well, there you go. Read the book. It's called Perils by Woodward and Costa. Good morning, Ellen. Today we're going to talk about the cult leader, the crybaby, the disgraced former president, Donald Duck Trump. Donald Trump. He's being crazy again, Ellen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Ellen's, there you go. We made a promise not to talk about Dumbfuck Donald, the mental giant, the retard, the old bastard from the Florida coast. Fat bastard. But Trump is upset that, here's the headline, Trump is upset that his lies are not reaching the masses. So he's getting bored with his supporters because they're so small. And he's getting bored. They do everything he says. It's not no challenge anymore. He's not expanding his fuckery. So he's getting bored. You know what this asshole, this mental giant, this retard, this traitor to the United States of America, this, I can't say anything, piece of dirt stain on your carpet. So he's bored with the same followers. He's bored with not getting the reaction. See, he needs this. This is his drug. He feels so bad about himself that he needs people to pick him up every day. So what he did was, like a spoiled little child, he got his lawyer, and he got the governor, I don't know what governor it was, to threaten Twitter to restore his Twitter account. So he asked the federal government, the one that he tried to take over, the one that says he stole the election from, the one that said it's crooked and corrupt, and the one that says they stole this from me and the government, and this is the man who says, let me cut open your body and put a UV ray in there so I can kill the virus. And my wife, here, have a shot of bleach while I do it. This is the man who says Biden's not the president. This is the man who tried to decertify the election, did everything he could. Now he wants to ask the federal government to restore his Twitter account. This is what he's thinking about. He's not thinking about expanding his base. He's not thinking about talking to his followers. He's not thinking about the midterm election, that how we can get this. This is it. But he's been talking about this ever since. He's going to call the federal government and ask them to restore his Twitter account. Is that bizarre shit? Now, the federal government, there is a thing in the Constitution.
If I was any judge, I'd blast his ass out of the courthouse.
Oh, yeah, and they have. And you know what they should do? They should put them on, like, crazy Twitter or Tinder Twitter. You just swipe left if you want to hear some nonsense. They should put them in some gay chat room, gay Twitter. I'm sure there is a gay Twitter. They should put him in there.
Oh, my God.
So he's asking the federal government to restore his Twitter account, which is a private company. I'll bet they went public on it, but it's still a private company. So here's one guy who responded to the ad, and there's more. How can a private company be violating Trump's constitutional rights on their company's private platforms? This is so dumb. This is so stupid. This is dumb. I'm tired of this shit. I'm a Republican, and I'm just tired of this shit show. And that's from a Republican. So, I mean, this guy is so stupid. He claims to be a businessman. He claims this. He knows everything about business. Nobody knows more about business than him. Nobody knows how to run a company more than him. But yet he doesn't understand that the federal government cannot say, can you please put Donald back on your platform, please? He's being a spoiled little crybaby, and he keeps calling us. Can you please put him, can you get his account back? A grown-ass man. I would be ashamed. Donald Trump wants to go back on Twitter. And Twitter goes, no, because he's going to start an angry fight. He's not going to start a fight, but we're going to sue your stupid ass. You better let him on. You see? It's like children. And this cult leader can't understand why he can't play with anybody. Oh, if I leave Twitter, everybody's going to leave with me. Nobody's going to leave with you, dumb fuck. If I leave Twitter, all the views are going to go down. No.
Actually,
exactly.
Actually, I think Twitter got a lot more people after he left.
They did, didn't they? It got to be a lot better.
Yeah.
And he sat there and stood.
Yeah, you know
when
what?
You
know what?
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people, while he was, you know, in office, I'm not going to say while he was the president, while he was being a dumbass in the office, a lot of people left their social media because they were getting sick and tired of seeing all of this shit. And now that he's gone, I think all those people reactivated their accounts.
Well, you know, they keep thinking, and I blame the news for this. They keep thinking there's a lot of people who are supporting Donald Trump. There's not. There's a small group of people. And you say, well, how do you know it's a small group of people? Because when he first ran, he lost the popular vote. When he ran again, not only did he lose the popular vote, he lost the electoral vote. And people say, well, the numbers. It says 71 million people voted for Trump. You can't ignore the numbers. Yes, you can. Because majority of those people will vote cross-Republican. Not for Donald, but they'll vote Republican. And if you saw what happened, the Republicans gained a lot of people in the Senate and the House. So they did support their Republican Party, but they did not support him. As soon as that curtain was shut, they said, fuck you. You two-time loser.
The next person they need to get off of Twitter is his dumbass son, Dumb Donald Jr.
Dumb Donald. I haven't even been looking at that fuck either. But they're closing in on that fuck, too. They're closing
He's saying a whole bunch of stupid shit on Twitter. They need to ban his dumbass.
Well, what's happening is they're bringing people to court, and people are just tripping over themselves, and they're finally holding them accountable. Hold on, let me talk to this. Ellen, that's Ellen J., everybody. If you want to come to the studio, say hello to Ellen J. Beautiful voice. Used to be my...
Well, young man.
Exactly.
Young man, I thought I heard you say good luck. Mm. Was that what you said, or did you say a different word?
I said, no, not good luck. I said dumb fuck. Sometimes you sound
again. No. You're going to talk nice. You're going to be
about
reformed.
What?
You're going to be reformed. You're going to speak well.
Why?
I haven't slept all night.
Why?
That is
What's
why.
Going on?
Why?
What's going on,
well,
girl?
Well, I got the shot Saturday.
By the way,
you know,
Ellen's here. By the way, Ellen's here. There
I burned my foot, you know, like two years ago, and I got some nerve damage. I'm like, man, my feet are hurting really, really bad, and like my fingers are spreading to my fingers. And then I realized I'd left the front door and the back door open. It got a little chilly last night. I mean, I went through some of the originals on Netflix, and then I got on TikTok. Bad thing to do to get on TikTok if you want to go to sleep. And, you know, I think that's where the ex-pres needs to be, because there's this Pamela Punkin in her Halloween workout thing, and everybody's doing this Pamela Punkin thing. And I would just love to see Trump try it. I got the sleepy sillies. So what's up?
I don't think he discovered TikTok yet. I don't think he's even discovered Instagram.
Can you imagine him doing that, TikTok?
Oh, I don't think he can handle it, because there's too many memes on him on TikTok. He would just go nuts. If you Google his name, you're going to get all these memes and people acting stupid, and I don't think he can handle that. But, yeah.
Now,
Angela,
are you
he was just
on TikTok?
No, I'm going to be, though, as of I open. What's so funny?
Why is Ellen laughing?
What's so funny?
Ellen, you're on TikTok?
Yes, I am on TikTok.
Oh,
I don't know about that reaction. What was that? You think I would do stupid things on TikTok, Ellen? I don't know what that reaction's about.
You do stupid things off of TikTok, okay? No,
that's
but
true.
You know what? TikTok would be really good for you, Brian, because the stupid things that you do, you could put them up on TikTok and you would get a lot of
that's
fun.
True.
Yeah, you can stitch them together. You can stitch little things together.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, you know,
filters and,
sure.
You know, you can do a duet with somebody and you can chew them out or,
right.
I don't know.
Well, that means I would have to talk really, I would have to talk really sexy to them so they could be wet, so there's duet. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, whatever. But you're all here.
I am live. But the look. Okay, the duet that Angela is talking about, you can only duet with somebody after you get 1,000 followers.
Okay.
Oh, you have to have 1,000 followers? Seriously?
Yep.
My 2 followers, that's not going to cut it.
You're too much. Well, as I was reading, and thank you, Angela.
It's true. I only have 2 followers.
Do you really? You got 2 more than I do. What was the thing?
That's true.
What was
it? TikTok, Brian.
Huh?
It
was a thing
on
I went
TikTok.
On. Remember, there's a thing I went on, and they got mad at me, and they sued me for being on their platform, or they tried to sue me. I forgot what it was. Anyway, it was a funny thing.
What?
Well, you can't make any money on YouTube, but TikTok you can.
No. Oh, okay. Well, I'll take off my shirt.
No, you can. You can make money on YouTube if you get enough followers.
Really?
Well, I mean, you can get like a million views. You only get $400, you know, from YouTube. I mean, it's not the big money it used to be.
I know. And you know what? What a great business.
YouTube.
What a great business thing.
Go suck toes.
Can you look at you and go suck toes? I see where your mind is. Is that an insult? I don't think so. It could be a subliminal thought.
See my toes. See my toes.
Yeah. I'm going to insult you, Miss Pretty Girl. You suck my dick. Yeah. I know.
God.
You know, so during the description and perils, it said that Donald Trump seemed a little bit like the Full Metal Jacket Gunnery Sergeant Hartman. If you didn't see, it's the best scene ever in a motion picture. So Trump started to lose.
Okay.
He started to lose, saying, I won the election. How did everybody else win and I didn't win? That's preposterous. That means I won too, right? No, sir, you did not win. People did not vote for you, sir. You do a good Stanley, don't you? I thought Stanley was in the studio. Angela, you naughty, naughty person.
I'm so dizzy. I am so dizzy. And I took 3 pills because my left foot's still hurting, the one I burnt. Second and third degree.
Oh, kiddo. Yeah, somebody needs to lick those toes.
They look bad. They look bad. I need a manicure and everything. We do not want toe jam.
No.
Not right, Ellen.
Mm.
Who?
Well, just in case you didn't know who Gunnery Sergeant Hartman was, they said that Donald Trump towards the end started to act like him, scream like him. Here's Donald Trump talking to his administration. I'm going to mute everybody so you can hear it. Here he goes. Donald Trump talking to his administration.
Hartman, your senior drill instructor. From now on, you will speak only when spoken to. And the first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir. Do you maggots understand that?
Sir, yes, sir.
Bullshit, I can't hear you. Sound off like you got a pair.
Sir, yes, sir.
If you ladies leave my island, if you survive recruit training, you will be a weapon. You will be a minister of death praying for war. But until that day, you are pukes. You are the lowest form of life on earth. You are not even human fucking beings. You are nothing but unorganized, grabastic pieces of amphibian shit. Because I am hard, you will not like me. But the more you hate me, the more you will learn. I am hard, but I am fair. There is no racial bigotry here. I do not look down on niggers, kites, wops, or greasers. Here you are all equally worthless. And my orders are to weed out all non-hackers who do not pack the gear to serve in my beloved corps. Do you maggots understand that?
Sir, yes, sir.
Bullshit, I can't hear you.
Sir, yes, sir.
What's your name, scumbag?
Sir, Brown and Brown, sir.
Bullshit, from now on, you're Private Snowball. Do you like that name?
Sir, yes, sir.
Well, there's one thing that you won't like, Private Snowball. They don't serve fried chicken and watermelon on a daily basis in my mess hall.
Sir, yes, sir.
Is that you, John Wayne? Is this me?
Who said that? Who the fuck said that? Who's the slimy little communist shit twinkle toed cocksucker down here who just signed his own death warrant? Nobody, huh? The very fucking godmother said, I'll fucking stand you. I will PT you all until you fucking die. I'll PT you until your assholes are sucking buttermilk. Was it you, you scroungy little fuck, huh?
Sir, no, sir.
You little piece of shit, you look like a fucking worm. I bet it was you.
Sir, no, sir.
Sir, I said it, sir.
Well, no shit. What have we got here? A fucking comedian, Private Joker. I admire your honesty. Hell, I like you. You can come over to my house and fuck my sister. You little scumbag. I got your name. I got your ass. You will not laugh. You will not cry. You will learn by the numbers. I will teach you. Now get up. Get on your feet. You had best unfuck yourself or I will unscrew your head and shut down your neck.
Sir, yes, sir.
Private Joker, why did you join my beloved corps?
Sir, to kill, sir.
So you're a killer.
Sir, yes, sir.
Let me see your war face.
Sir.
You got a war face?
Ah, that's a war face. Now let me see your war face.
Ah!
Bullshit! You didn't convince me. Let me see your real war face.
Ah!
You don't scare me. Work on it.
Sir, yes, sir!
What's your excuse?
Sir, excuse for what, sir?
I'm asking the fucking questions here, Private. You understand?
Sir, yes, sir!
Well, thank you very much. Can I be in charge for a while?
Sir, yes, sir!
Are you shook up? Are you nervous?
Sir, I am, sir!
Do I make you nervous?
Sir!
Sir, what? Are you about to call me an asshole?
Sir, no, sir!
How tall are you, Private?
Sir, 5'9", sir!
5'9"? I didn't know they stacked shit that high. You trying to squeeze an inch in on me somewhere, huh?
Sir, no, sir!
Bullshit, it looks to me like the best part of you ran down to crack your mama's ass and ended up as a brown stain on the mattress. I think you've been cheated.
Where in hell are you from anyway, Private?
Sir, Texas, sir!
Holy dog shit, Texas, only steers and queers come from Texas, Private Cowboy. And you don't much look like a steer to me, so that kind of narrows it down. Do you suck dicks?
Sir, no, sir!
Are you a Peter Pepper?
Sir, no, sir!
I bet you're the kind of guy that would fuck a person in the ass and not even have the goddamn common courtesy to give him a reach around. I'll be watching you.
For the past year, I've journeyed across...
There you go. And that was Donald Trump talking to his lawyer, Rudy Giuliani. There you go. I'm talking about this guy, man. This guy. I can't even say his name. This motherfucker.
Paterno.
This dumb motherfucker. It's unbelievable.
And Supreme Court Justice.
Huh?
Supreme Court Justice. There's a lot of dumb ones there. And they're in chambers this morning.
Are they really? What are they in chambers for this time? Roe versus Wade?
People are presenting arguments today on some type of, I don't know, case.
Wow. It's unbelievable, man. And then we have the people who believe Giuliani. We're going to get to the main story about the cult leaders
of
crybabies.
Isn't he in a home
right
now?
President. He's in a lot of trouble. But Giuliani went to a
home. He needs to be put into a, orange-colored home.
Well, he's in the orange-colored home. At one time, this guy lost his mind with alcoholism that ate up his brain. But
I don't know. He was around Trump a long time. That's what I was talking about. You know, he's so far up, tiny, the orange-colored, tiny. To the big house.
Little Oompa Loompa. That's true.
Who else is there?
323, you're live on the air with Brian Hammer Jackson. 323, is this Joe?
Yeah, it is, Joe.
I can hear the backbeat.
Hey.
Hey, Joe,
look.
Good morning.
Yeah, Hammer, you know, what's wrong with you? I talked to you last time, and you say, I'm not going to talk about Trump anymore. I'm tired
I know,
of talking about Trump. And then here
yeah,
you go talking about
badly,
him again.
But he behaves badly, apparently.
What is wrong with Brian?
You know, it's not so much Trump, and you're right, and I haven't. I haven't. If you listen to the show the last maybe four or five times, I kind of stayed away from it because it's useless. But then shit happens, you know,
you
can't ignore it. Yeah, it's either worse, Britney or Trump.
What happened? I mean, Trump's been out of office since January. There's nothing that he's done to
Trump. Well, Trump's been busy trying to overthrow the election. Trump thinks he's still the president of the United States. No, not just the rallies. Trump is going around to different states, even states that he won, to have a recount that he's the president of the United States. Currently, he just got out of Arizona, who just came out last week saying that you're right, we made a mistake. Biden won by more votes than you. And then Omarosa's coming out, and he tried to sue her for the NDA, and she
won.
She won.
She beat that little punk, nasty, cream-ass bastard up.
Really, huh? What did
she
win
last week.
What did she win?
He has to pay her legal fees, which will never happen.
For what?
For what? Yeah. Because she sued him.
Uh-huh.
No, I'm sorry. Let me go really slow.
He
sued her because she signed an NDA, non-disclosure agreement, because she came out with a book and she came out saying all this other bullshit. So they went to court, and a judge said this non-disclosure agreement that Trump made his people sign is bullshit. Therefore, it is not legal. She won. And so this happened last week. And now he's telling people, get this, he's telling people in Texas and everywhere, the states that he won, that he wants a recount. The states that he won, he wants a recount.
Well, he wants an audit. It's different than a recount. If you have a recount, all you're doing is counting up the same ballots.
Really?
Well, it's been almost a year, though, Joe. I mean, you know, some guys have to learn to give it up. You know, go to greener pastures. He should go to Germany. They'd probably love him there.
And you're right.
Well,
and now the latest one, Joe, is that he contacted the governor. I got to find out what state because I'll read the
Well, what
copy.
Was the nature of it? I've read everything last
Okay,
night.
The nature of it is that he asked the federal government, the same federal government who was corrupt, that took his election away, that he got all these people to destroy the Capitol because it was illegitimate that he's still the president. He asked the federal government to reinstate him on Twitter, Joe. To reinstate him on Twitter. That's the latest thing.
So why did he ask
Georgia. He's going after Georgia again.
Yeah, I think it is Georgia. Why do you ask the federal government? That's the question, Joe. Twitter is a private company. Everybody knows that you can. The federal government cannot intervene with a private company's rules and regulations. But Trump is so stupid that he thinks he can ask the federal government to reinstate him on Twitter.
They actually can.
No, they can't.
That's the choice. Yes, they can.
He tried
Facebook,
to go to
YouTube,
Supreme Court, and he lost.
YouTube, mm-hmm. Facebook, and Twitter are private platforms, but because of their size, I think they also made an agreement with Congress that they would only act as neutral platforms. When they act non-neutral, when they start censoring, 98% of the time, conservatives, they're acting as publishers. When they act as publishers, they're under the jurisdiction of the federal government.
No, they are not. You're getting your facts confused. First of all, they are not publishers, and that has not been defined as they are publishers. That's what they tried to get Twitter, Facebook,
Brian,
and other social
terms of use.
You're confused?
Terms of use. No,
right.
Terms of use.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That he agreed to.
Again, okay, they are considered publishers if they are censoring, and they are, because they are putting their nose into everybody else's business.
No, they're not.
Neutral platform.
They are not putting their nose in other. It's a platform where people go and put their nose in our business. It's a public platform. They are not swaying votes. They are not doing anything. It's a platform for people to sound off and put their own ideas and opinions on.
No.
What about the terms of use?
Terms of use don't have anything to do with censorship. The thing is, they're practicing censorship. They are supposed to be neutral, which means anybody and everybody is supposed to have the same type of rights as anybody and everybody else. Therefore, they can't
not
just
the Constitution.
One particular. The Constitution has to do with the government. The government can't interfere. But
well, freedom
against,
of speech.
The fourth
I thought that.
Time,
go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry.
The fourth time, they are a neutral platform. They are not acting as a neutral platform. Therefore, they've had hearings in Congress about whether or not to make sure that Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook, and people like that, like Reddit, etc., if they're going to be considered publishers or not. If they are, then they violated a particular agreement that they're supposed to have with the federal government.
But they are not publishers. You keep
if
saying the same thing.
If they're censoring half the world based upon political bias, then they're publishers.
If they have every right as a private entity and a private company, you have every right to censor, control. They have rules of play here, which you cannot bully, which you cannot use aggression, which you cannot use act of war on their platform.
They don't have the
right. That's right.
They had the right. The Congress wouldn't have anything to say
about it. No ifs, ands, or buts. They do.
Okay, you two say they do. Then the meetings and the hearings in Congress were all fictitious. Okay?
Well, there is a law, and I'm going to pull up the law. I'll pull up the law that private government cannot control private businesses, and I'm going to find the law here, and there is law. I know the law, and
well,
I can't get it off the top of my head because you're going
to
ask me.
If you go to C-SPAN, they had a... I think it was 2018 he was knocked off the platform, if I'm right. I'll be right back.
Okay. Well, anyway, when people were talking about this big lie and they started to believe in it, I said, where did this start? Now, it was known and it was out that when Trump was losing the election, people were going nuts. They announced it in Arizona, Trump lost. He went through the roof. Giuliani came into the room and says, you know what, forget what you hear. Don't listen to the news. You won. An anonymous administrator said to Giuliani, he did not win. Quit telling him that. I don't care what the results are going to be. It's going to be in his favor. He won. Let's keep that narrative. He won. Enough people will believe he won, even when he lost. Now, people can say, oh, that's hearsay and everything. Well, okay. Well, now I back it up with facts. So Rudy's up there running around saying Trump won, telling the big lie. He says if we say it loud enough and enough times, people are going to believe it. And everybody in the rest of the world were saying, we got to hold these people accountable. So they did. And here's what happened. Here's what happened when Rudy went in front of a judge, when he knew that if he lied to the judge or he lied to the judicial system, that he could lose his license, which they did pull it in New York, I believe. And he could go to jail. So now he's faced with this. If he lies, he could go to jail. They pull his license. So here's what happened. Rudy Giuliani, everybody, under oath.
On a deposition conducted under oath and transcribed, a deposition of Trump lawyer Rudy Giuliani, in which Mr. Giuliani admits under oath that when he started spreading these conspiracy theories.
I am muting everyone, so not just so we can hear it correctly. So here we go. Rudy Giuliani under oath.
Under oath. That when he started spreading these conspiracy theories about voting machines somehow being used to steal the election for Joe Biden, he actually had no idea whether the things he was saying were true or not. He didn't, like, look up anything to try to check these allegations. He did concede that he might have read some Facebook posts that led him to make these claims, but he couldn't quite remember. He also conceded he didn't talk to any of these supposed witnesses he cited as sources for these claims. He didn't investigate or literally even look up or read anything about what he was alleging. He just burped it out there to see what might happen. This is from the deposition question from the lawyer. As I'm hearing your testimony, in terms of eyes-on information about your claims about Dominion voting systems, we've got some media reports that you generally described, and then you looked at some Facebook postings that you described. Answer for Mr. Giuliani. I don't remember if it was Facebook. Those social media posts get all one to me. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Question. Social media postings. Answer. Giuliani. I think it was Facebook. Question. Anything else that you laid eyes on? Answer. Right now, I can't recall anything else that I laid eyes on. I maybe looked at Facebook when I was coming up with that stuff. I don't remember. Which is Facebook? Is that the one with the little bird? Okay, sir, and what about the bombshell source that you said you had, who had all the proof that the election was stolen? Tell us about your investigation of this witness's claims. Question. I take it from your testimony that you or your team didn't interview this man? Answer. I didn't interview him. Question. Okay. Answer. I can't tell you if someone on the team didn't interview him. I think somebody interviewed him. Question. You said the story was credible. Do you have any knowledge about this source that led you to believe he was credible? Answer. Giuliani. No. I didn't have any information that he wasn't. It's not my job in a fast-moving case to go out and investigate every piece of evidence that's given to me. Otherwise, you're never going to write a story. Why the heck wouldn't I believe him? I would have been a terrible lawyer to, let's go find out if it's untrue. I didn't have the time to do that. Again, that is the explanation from President Trump's lawyer of where the voting machine stole the election from Trump conspiracy came from, which they, of course, have been promulgating for months. I assume somebody talked to this guy. No idea if he was credible. It's not like we looked into what he was saying. Why would we do that? Also, I don't know, maybe I saw something on Facebook, but I'm not even sure of that. I don't even really know what Facebook is. We didn't look into it. We just said it. No, we had no idea if it was true or not. Who cares? That's not my job. I think those under oath admissions from the former president's lawyer should be getting more attention than they are. Going to go on the record and say that, but that's how it goes. We reported on that deposition 2 days ago.
Well, there you go. Trump lawyer. If you say it enough times, people will believe it. And that's how we got started. Giuliani convinced Trump to keep saying it enough times, the big lie, and enough people will believe it. Now he's under a deposition. He had no idea. I think I read it on Facebook. Huh?
He had to tell the truth in that case.
Sure, he did. And the rest are coming forward telling it too. You know, Dominion. Dominion machines.
Twitter.
We had enough of this. Huh?
Twitter thing was the...
Wait, I'm sorry. Wait, hold on. Hold on, Angela. One second, Angela. Joe, I can barely hear you. Your phone is really messed up. Say something again.
Okay, who's coming forward to tell the truth?
Oh, okay. Everyone is coming forward. And Bob, my God.
Oh, everybody's
do you know how many books about
on.
Trump?
Oh,
I counted. He
he's
got it
really
from sources from his. Okay, Joe, you have. Do you know? Do you believe it was real that he did an audit in Arizona and the results were Biden won by more than he thought he did?
Yeah.
Okay, so at least we know. Rudy Giuliani was in a deposition. If you can't believe a deposition, I don't know what to tell you.
I just heard Rachel Maddow's extrapolation from the deposition.
She was reading word for word.
Yeah, but her extrapolation, her particular editorializing after that, she said,
right.
"Well, we don't know about whether or not we checked out the facts." The lawyer was asking Giuliani if he checked it out. Giuliani's got a team. If you're the leader of the team, you don't always do micromanagement and ask every lawyer on your team, "Did you check out this particular part of the evidence?" They're probably pretty competent, especially when Sidney Powell's won pretty big cases and Lynn Wood has won pretty big cases.
Sidney Powell has not won. Well, name one case that
Sidney Powell
won. Yeah. This is, well, if you don't know who Sidney Powell is, she's another Trump conspiracy theorist who believes that the world is flat, Trump's still the president, and she believes that there is a rebellion going on and Trump didn't really lose. He's still our president. But go ahead. And they got rid of her. Even Trump got rid of Sidney Powell. Trump says Trump says, "I don't know who this woman is. I don't really know her." Trump even got rid of her. So I don't know if she's the right one to defend Trump because he attacked her later on. As an incompetent fool. Uh-huh.
He called her an incompetent fool?
Yes.
He did. He called her an incompetent fool.
He also made fun of her and mocked her every time she talked and laughed at her.
Like most women, he makes fun of.
Yeah, he does. He really
does. What article is this where he actually calls her an incompetent fool?
I'll find it.
Okay.
But he did. He did. But the bottom line is this guy was not only here's Sidney Powell. You'll hear from her own voice. Listen to her. Ladies and gentlemen, Sidney Powell. This was at that famous conference where Rudy Giuliani's face melted and went to blackface. But here's Sidney Powell.
Statement released on Sunday from other campaign lawyers Rudy Giuliani and Jenna Ellis said Sidney Powell is practicing law on her own. She is not a member of the Trump legal team. The announcement comes from Rudy Giuliani and Jenna Ellis said Sidney Powell is practicing law on her own. She is not a member of the Trump legal team. The announcement comes just a day after a judge dismissed the Trump campaign's bid to halt officials in Pennsylvania from certifying President-elect Joe Biden's victory in the state. Last week, Powell had claimed without evidence at a news conference that electronic voting systems had somehow flipped millions of votes from Trump to Biden.
It can set and run an algorithm that probably ran all over the country to take a certain percentage of votes from President Trump and flip them to President Biden. which we might never have uncovered had the votes for President Trump not been so overwhelming in so many of these states that it broke the algorithm that had been plugged into the system.
Trump allegedly expressed concern after the conference that Powell's claims were too outlandish, according to a source familiar with the discussions. Powell did not immediately respond to a request for comment. With Biden set to take office on January 20th, Trump's effort to overturn the election results is losing steam and running out of time. His attempts to thwart the certification of vote tallies have also failed in Georgia, Michigan, and Arizona so far.
There you go, Joe. Even she's so crazy that even Trump says, hey, we have nothing to do with this cuckoo. Nothing to do with her at all. And that she's not, even Giuliani says, no, she's not part of us. You see, so I don't know what more I can give you guys, that this is crazy. So here we go right here.
It really is funny. How, you know, he turns on the people who start out defending him, and then he wonders why they turn on his ass and they go and spill everything.
Well, who on his legal team has turned on? I don't know if any on Giuliani hasn't done it, and I don't know if anybody on Giuliani's team has done it.
So, a lot of his
on his
legal team
are in jail. First of all, you're not going to get it.
Are in jail.
Are in jail. You're right, Ellen. They're under indictment.
Yeah, that
is. But they're under subpoenas. They are not getting paid.
I like that guy, Cohen. I think Cohen. They ran into his office and without a warrant, they got all of his papers. They got all the confidential papers that he got between himself, not only with defending Trump, but with defending other lawyers. You're not supposed to do that.
Well, here's our main story before we get into a wormhole. So Trump is upset that he cannot be on Twitter, so he's trying to ask the federal government to reinstate him. Here's the story, our main story. People get upset that I take too long to get to the main story. Here's the main story. And, oops, I did it again. Here we go, main story.
10 months since Donald Trump was kicked off Twitter. Now the former U.S. president wants back in, asking a judge to force the company to reinstate his account. For more, let's go to U.S. correspondent Allison Petrowski in L.A. Ali, why is Donald Trump so desperate to get back on the Twitters?
Well, one reason and one reason only, Charles. President Trump wants to run again to be president in 2024, but to do that, he knows that he needs the support of his Twitter followers. So what he's saying is that he thinks he's been violated of his First Amendment rights. As you know, Charles, Twitter was always his favorite social media platform. He had more than 88 million followers leading up to January 6th when he was spectacularly booted off for inciting violence in less than 160 characters. And in the filing, Trump's lawyers said that Twitter exercises a degree of power and control over political discourse in this country that is immeasurable, historically unprecedented, and profoundly dangerous to open and democratic debate. It also goes on to say that it had improperly censored him during his one and only term as president. And then his lawyers also go on to point out that leaders of the Taliban are still quite active on Twitter. So they want to know why the president isn't able to be either. Now, Charles, Twitter has no formal response at the moment, but they are a private company and essentially they're allowed to do what they like. So this will be a really interesting one as it plays out in the courts over the coming months.
Will indeed, Ali. Thank you.
Plan is simple, folks. When you go into a company or if you're using the platform, even Facebook, there's rules and regulations. If you break the rules, the company have the right to boot your ass off. We all got booted. I've been in Facebook jail many times. I know I've been in Facebook jail so much that they have a little statue of me in front of the courthouse, Facebook courthouse.
Repeat offender.
Exactly. But Trump doesn't think the rules apply to him. And so he can go on anybody private property. That's like Trump coming into your house, going into your refrigerator and making dinner on what's in there. And then he says, I have the right to do it. I am a public figure, and I should be able to, since I'm in your house, eat anything I want to. So he thinks the rules do not apply for him. But I hope he does run for 2024. I hope you Republicans run him so much. I want you guys to run. You got a two-time loser who's going to be indicted so many times is unbelievable. And you got a cheater, a loser, and a dumb fuck. I hope, if this is the best you Republicans can do, the guy lost the first popular vote. The second time he lost not only the popular vote, but he lost the electoral vote. This guy's a loser. So sure, be my guest. I hope he runs. Run, run, run as many times as you can. You'll be 80 years old, you old fart, and I want you to run again. It would be a slam dunk for the Republic of the Democrats, and I think we'll have a great time destroying you and your family. So please run. Run, you dumb fuck. Run. Come on, Forrest. Run, Forrest. Run. What we're going to do, and then here's another thing. Now, we're going to take another side of it. This is a conservative news with the same story, and this is how they put it. Talking about Trump wants a Florida judge to force Twitter to restart his Twitter account.
Former U.S. President Donald Trump has asked a federal judge in Florida to force Twitter to reinstate his account. In July this year, Trump has sued social media giants, including Twitter, Facebook, and Google, including their chief executive officers. He alleged that these platforms unlawfully silenced conservative viewpoints. Now, Trump's request for a preliminary injunction against Twitter was filed on Friday in Miami. It claimed that Twitter had canceled his account in January under pressure from political rivals in Congress. Twitter banned Trump this year after companies complained that he violated their policies against glorifying violence. On the 6th of January this year, hundreds of Trump supporters had launched a deadly assault on the U.S. Capitol. This came after Trump gave a speech in which he repeated false claims like widespread voter fraud. Now, Trump's lawyers argue that Twitter exercises a degree of power and control over political disclosure in this country that is immeasurable, historically unprecedented, and profoundly dangerous to open democratic debate. Trump continues to be off Twitter. However, the social media platform has not taken down the Taliban-affiliated account. Trump pointed out that Taliban tweeted regularly about their military victories across Afghanistan, but he was being censored.
It's pretty much sad and tells you who you are when a terrorist group, the Taliban, has an account on Twitter and you don't, and you're banned, and you used to be the disgraced president of the United States. It tells you so much about him, doesn't it? I mean, if the ISIS and the Taliban have a Twitter account, and you can't get on there, and it's an American-based company, what a piece of shit you must be. I mean,
that's how you interpret that.
Yes, I would.
How
that's
the
how
platform will allow a terrorist group, but not a former
right.
president, and you,
right.
and you,
because he's worse than a terrorist.
Well, because he's worse than a terrorist.
Yeah. How would you interpret it? They're against. Well, Twitter is against white dudes who live in Florida. How do you interpret why he can't be on Twitter? Why you got terrorist organizations getting more followers?
Right. If they're going to say that this particular guy, the President of the United States, violated terms of service by inciting violence, then what's the Taliban doing there?
Apparently, they're the most valuable player, and they're up for Employee of the Week. They're a terrorist organization, and they're running around getting followers. They're probably collecting campaigns. How bad do you have to be?
Why even ask questions?
I mean, that's like you're going to the NAACP. You're applying for the NAACP, and you're a black guy. And they said, you are banned from our organization. We're going to choose the white guy. He's prejudiced. He's kind of radical. But you are such a piece of shit that we don't even want you near our organization.
That's a good analogy. I'm going to make a little bit of a difference on this. Like the NAACP saying to a black guy, "Nah, we don't want you to be the head of the NAACP. We want the head of the Ku Klux Klan to be the head
right.
of the NAACP. We like
right.
them." But,
right. No, we'll take him.
Saying, yeah. And you're saying that the onus and the burden of being a moron is on the black guy, not on the organization which is supposed to be for black people.
Mm-hmm. I'm saying that the Taliban, I'll be clear what I'm saying. I'm saying, let's go back to, because I'm not going to be swayed to go to a wormhole. I'm saying that the Taliban obeys the rules. They're a terrorist organization. They haven't done anything against the rules. They haven't excited violence. But this dude here, this dude is hellfire. And next thing you know, we got American people marching on the Capitol wanting to hang your vice president. I'll take the Taliban.
Yeah, I know you would.
I mean, the Taliban didn't march on our Capitol and try to hang Mike Pence and yell, hang Mike Pence, I'm going to pull a bullet in Pelosi's head. The Taliban, even the Taliban saying, oh, shit, they went too far. Oh, shit. Come on, Joe. This is ridiculous.
Don't Joe me. I'm just going to let you do your rant because you always do your rant. And then you say,
okay.
Oh, I'm never going to talk about Trump again.
All righty, buddy. All right. Now, there's predictions, and there's wages going on in Vegas. When will Trump be indicted? It's a real thing. And he will be. And I'm going to go to the news. I know. They got people doing depositions now, and I think it's a smart thing that they're doing, and these guys have to tell the truth. Powell's being sued. Rudy Giuliani's being sued. For they're talking about Dominion's and the machines are wrong and they're reversing votes. Dominion's saying, fuck you guys. We're going to take you to court and we're going to sue your asses. And Rudy has no case. You just heard what Rudy said in a deposition. I don't know. It was some dude on Facebook or social media. I can't. You're a fucking lawyer. Yes. Aren't you supposed to check things out? I don't check everything. Who would go to that lawyer? Can you imagine you're up for some kind of crime and you're counting on your lawyer to get a PI to do some research and who's telling the truth or not, get witnesses? Rudy sits there and honestly and say, I didn't check it out. I don't know who checked it out. I heard it on Facebook. It must be true, so I'm going to say it. You're a fucking lawyer, for Christ's sake. You know damn well you're supposed to check out the things that are not false to help your client. Even I know that, and I didn't go to law school. Shut up, Rudy. Have another drink, a dumb alcoholic motherfucker. This little hobbit bastard has a nerve, and then he's a coward, because when they do go to court and they ask him about, give us evidence, and he goes, I don't know. I don't know. This is his lawyer. Here we go. Angela. A word. Go, kid, go.
Yes. I am muted myself.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well,
what did you want to respond to?
What I'm just saying is that I don't think I'm the only
being sued or...
I'm saying that the public, they went on record 3 weeks ago on Trump backing and donors, and these are corporate donors. And they came out with a headline. They basically said, we're tired of this shit show. We're tired of backing Trump because what he's doing, and I could pull it up, they're tired of him taking money, $25, $40 from people with the crazy stories and the crazy conspiracies. They said that they're going to pull all their money away from Trump, and they're going to put it to the GOP, and they're going to back somebody who is sane. That's what they said. So they're going to pull all their money away from Trump, and Trump's not happy with his rallies. They're not pulling in the people. They're the same people. He's not expanding his base. He's not talking about policy. He's not talking about the pandemic. He's not talking about nothing. The only thing that he's crying about is he lost the election. And not only that, Melania left his ass. He doesn't even, Melania, this is
no,
how bad Trump
still,
is.
She's still at
she's
that
still,
place in Florida, but the, of course,
no,
separate wings.
No, she's traveling. Melania did not even go to his 75th birthday. She was not even there.
That's
she was
right.
traveling. And they asked Melania,
yeah,
how can
there,
you did
Mom, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, she's not there right now. She's traveling the world.
Ooh.
She
That's
is.
New.
She hasn't been there. She hasn't been in Florida for months. And they
or
asked
she go back
her.
To Lubinica or wherever she's from.
Oh, she's having an affair with what's his name from Paris.
She had
him
an anchor
and
baby. Let's be honest.
Yeah, well, she
had
is. No, she's
baby.
A.
Send her back.
No, she's a. What do you call those people where they used to sell mail? She's a mail order whore. You know, she reminds me of Evita. Remember Evita when she was the leader in Argentina? But they didn't like her, Evita.
Oh, okay.
They didn't like her because she was a whore, and they didn't really respect her.
No,
or
they didn't like her
progressive
ideas, and then they called her that.
Well, they called her a whore first, and they were really upset. And then she started getting her – then she got a platform together with her progressive ideas. And they said,
leave her alone.
No, no, no. And then she actually turned the country over. I like Evita. But Trump is no Evita.
Me too.
I mean, Melania is no Evita. Melania said plain
no.
out.
She had an
she anchor
baby. Let's be honest.
Yeah, she did. Look at that kid. I mean, come on. Can we make fun of
Trump.
Of that kid yet? What was the kid's name again, Bert?
No.
What's the kid's name?
Baron.
Baron.
And he's taller than Trump. And Trump refused to be photographed with him as much as he did
when Baron
was younger.
Is that true?
That is true.
Really? That little insecure little bastard. We can't make fun of Baron because Baron didn't do anything. We got to go with the dumb fuck kids, the illegitimate kids that he has with Eric and... Yeah.
Yeah, Eric's a good one to make fun of.
Your child is taller than you, and you don't want to be photographed with him.
And he's 11.
Yeah, he's not 18.
He's not 11, Brian.
I think
it's 15
or 16.
No, when he was 11. I know, what is he now, 13 maybe? I don't know.
15.
No, he's 15.
Oh, my God. He's 6'7"
and he became taller than his dad. I think it was like at 13, 14, wasn't it, Ellen?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, how pathetic. And here we go right here. I don't like this woman, to be honest with you. I don't like her.
Well,
I can't stand her.
Hear her voice. Are you going to put her
Not Melania. We're talking about Joy Reid. This is a woman I cannot stand.
Oh, no.
I cannot stand this bitch. Everything, you know, when you watch MSNBC, she's an anchor on MSNBC.
The Brian Kammer show does not agree with using the word bitch or dumbfuck. You're welcome.
Oh no, it's in our category, bitch and dumbfuck.
Oh, so you need terms of service.
Yeah, terms of service. Terms of service. Read the contract, lady. I like it when people try to upgrade me and make me really better than I am. No, I'm down here. But thank you, Angela. That's why we have you on the show, Angela, to uplift it. We have a host that's a train wreck, but we have the guest that will uplift
me. I'm here because I can't sleep. I cannot sleep.
Oh, well, that's... Joy Reid, everybody. Listen to what she says. I hate the bitch. I can't stand the bitch. They could get rid of the bitch, that Haitian little whore. But let's listen to what she has to say. Only 5 minutes, because I'm going to get some coffee. And then later, we have surprises. We're giving away money. Win Brian's money. And, you know, I'm telling you right now, for the last...
Who gives a fuck? I haven't seen my investment from 2 fucking years ago when you were giving out...
You pulled out. Oh, wait a minute. See, fake news.
Where's my stock?
Fake news.
Where's my stock?
Let me tell you something.
Pull out.
Your stock...
That's rather nasty.
What my stock was.
Wait a minute. Oh, my God. Let me tell you something. Joe had some stock, and it went up 3 cents, I believe. It was getting up there. You know, Joe's going to retire. And then I said, Joe, it looks like your stock is taking off. I need an address, or I need something so I can send you some money for your stock. You're not going to find my address, you cheap bastard. You'll never find me, see? You'll never find me. Nobody will find me. I'm on top of the world, Ma. You'll never find me, you bastard. I go, okay.
That's word for word what I said.
Listen, see, I know what you got, see.
Yeah, you're not going to find me, see?
Yeah, see? Yeah, yeah. Look, Ma, I'm on top of the world, Ma. I'm on top of the world.
Oh, yeah. That's what I said. Yeah. So if I get the fucking stock, I'm on top of the world, Ma. That's one of my favorite Shaggy movies.
Oh yeah. Mm. Do you remember the name of it, Joe?
Well, I forgot. White Heat, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was it White Heat? It's White Heat?
Yeah.
I think so. That's when he played a mobster, a gangster. And
well, he always played a mobster and a
gangster. He did, didn't he?
That was his whole shtick.
I wish they bring back.
Okay, and Bruce Willis played a hero, plays hero characters. No shit.
Right. Right. Bruce Willis.
Have
about
you seen the latest Bruce Willis movies? He's phoning it in. He's not the actor he used to be.
I was just talking about that, Joe. I was talking about it last week, that this guy is just doing bullshit movies. I mean, you could find, if you have Netflix, it's so sad. He does like these bullshit movies every 6 months. He doesn't even act in them. He walks through them. They're horrible movies. He's taking the money, and these movies are not even straight to video. They're just straight to the garbage. But before they go to the garbage, they'll stream for about a week or two. But go ahead, Joe. Just going on what you were saying, it is horrible, these movies that he's making.
Yeah, it's surprising to me because Bruce Willis is such a natural, good actor, and to see him just phone it in, it's like he doesn't want to be there. He doesn't want to do anything. He just wants to say his lines, get his money, and leave.
Right. And you could tell, and Joe, you said it exactly right. You could tell that he phones it in. He doesn't even bother acting anymore.
No.
And going on. And
it's
Joe,
a shame. He's got great talent, too.
He's bored.
He's bored.
He doesn't respect the business anymore. I personally think he went downhill after Demi Moore and him broke up. But, you know, Joe, it's interesting. You know, and when you listen to this show, you say, okay, these are the headlines. These are what Brian's going to talk about. But you never know on this train when you get a ticket that – you never know where the train's going to go. Sometimes we can get derailed. Sometimes the sidecar gets hit against a mountain and we have to slow us down a little bit. Or somebody pulls a lever and we make a curve to the left. And Joe just did that. Joe was the engineer of this train, and he decided, let's go this way. And he's like, hey, our ticket didn't say that we're going to Russia. Well, you're going to Russia now, bitch, shut up. But here's what happened. So we're talking about Bruce Willis. And here's a little thing, and this goes with Joe and I's thinking. What the fuck happened to Bruce Willis? I haven't heard this piece, but we're going to run it just for a little bit because I'm going to get some coffee. Listen and see if Joe and I are right, Joe, because you and I cannot be the only ones that realize that Bruce Willis is phoning shit in.
No, I mean, it's so obvious. It's so obvious.
Yeah.
If he was in a bunch of good movies and acting bad, then you'd say, oh, Jesus Christ, he's being irresponsible. But he's in bad movies as well. Who selected these movies for him? He can't be getting much of a paycheck to be in these movies.
No. Well, you're right. Well, he must be getting something because you're right, Joe. You know, maybe $500,000 here or $700,000 here adds up. You know what I mean? But we know he's doing it for his money because he's surely not doing it because he's involved in the movie process, because you can tell he's miserable. Even in any character that he plays, it's almost like a documentary. He is just miserable doing it, and you could tell. Well, and if you don't believe Joe and I, here's a little – I haven't heard the segment, but 2 minutes. Here we go.
Bruce Willis claims that John McClane is very close to his real-life personality. A cool, wisecracking, charming dude living a life full of action. After many adventures, he has become jaded, even bored of the action-packed thrill ride that is cinema and life.
I'm going to mute everybody so we can hear it clearly. No offense, nobody leaves. But Joe and I cannot be wrong, so this may verify that we are right. So I'm just going to mute everybody so we can hear it, and I'll unmute you when we get back. But even Ellen, I think you agree with us that Bruce Willis is not, what the fuck happened to him? Here we go.
Movies have made over $3 billion, making him one of the most profitable movie stars of all time, which is a great accomplishment for a guy who never took the spotlight serious. He is one of the few 80s action stars that is also respected as an actor. Bruce is everything from a quiet, everyday man to a loudmouth action hero, and even a raccoon. He's also a ghost. Spoiler alert. He's a rock star, a cartoon, and he's even been described as a mega jerk sometimes. But Ashton Kutcher likes him. He has blessed the silver screen with some of the finest films from many genres for decades. But everyone now seems to say that Bruce Willis has stopped caring. But why? One question seems to be on everybody's mind, and that question is, what the f*** happened to Bruce Willis?
Come to the coast, we'll get together, have a few laughs.
To truly understand what happened to our dear Bruno, we must start at the beginning. This all-American action hero was born in Germany and raised in New Jersey. Bruce was an aspiring actor slash musician who was living the wild party life as a popular bartender in New York City. He was cast on the hit TV show Moonlighting. It was his big breakout, even though Bruce Willis had no respect for television. He auditioned anyway and beat out thousands of young men. The show's creator knew that Bruce was perfect, but the studio didn't think he was a leading man. But Bruce's charm and confidence eventually won over the studio. And then, the world. He was an overnight star and won an Emmy for his performance. But Mr. Willis did not get along with Sybil Shepherd very well. They fought a lot on set. Right away, word got out that Bruce Willis was difficult to work with. And the reputation stayed. Forever. Eventually, Bruce felt that the story and the characters were going nowhere, and the TV show had just turned into two people yelling at each other. It was no longer fun for Bruce. He was eager to burst out of the confines of 80s television. His first motion picture on the big screen was a movie called Blind Date, and many people enjoyed it. But in 1988 came the groundbreaking, influential action blockbuster Die Hard.
Welcome to the party, pal!
Bruce was a new type of action hero. The world was used to muscleheads from the 80s, like Stallone and Schwarzenegger, but now they had a more relatable character, as relatable as a terrorist-fighting cop can be. He's still a strong guy who can kick ass, but he's more delicate and can actually get hurt and feel emotions. Real emotions, like love. He's not just a superhuman killing machine, he's just a human with a machine gun. Ho, ho, ho. It is his pain that makes us root for John McClane, and his fast-talking jokes, of course, plus the love of his family and his jolly Christmas spirit. But of course, not everyone was welcoming Bruce into the world of movies. Many people thought letting a TV actor carry a big action movie was crazy, but sometimes crazy is the ingredient to perfection. And that's what Die Hard is. Perfect. Bruce is perfect, and I hate using the word perfect, but I'm going to use it here because Die Hard is perfect. Perfect. And even though Bruce was still starting out in the movie biz, he was able to earn slash negotiate an unheard of $5 million paycheck for Die Hard. This led to every single actor in Hollywood demanding a pay raise. And just like the building, Bruce blew up. These $60 traditional Japanese-inspired smart patches are taking the world by storm. Just apply them before bed and wake up feeling refreshed and clear as you peel off decades of built-up chemicals and toxins. The story behind these patches began when recent medical research uncovered hundreds of modern-day toxins. Unlike well-known toxins like cigarettes, these microtoxins silently build up in your bloodstream over the course of decades and cause harmful side effects if left untreated, like poor concentration, irritability, and weight gain, to name a few. Worse yet, people... But was Hollywood ready for a new breed of superstar? Of course not, but there was no choice. Bruce was here to stay. But after that, pretty much nothing but diehard clones were offered to Bruce. And he didn't want to do that. He was not interested in just doing action movie after action movie after action movie. He now had the money and the fame to experiment and take chances and have fun with diverse characters. The next year, he took on a very challenging and dramatic role in the film In Country. He gave a Golden Globe-nominated performance as a Vietnam veteran who suffers from PTSD. Bruce Willis showed the world that he was a legitimate dramatic actor.
like there's this hole in my heart. There's just something missing. I can't get it back.
I could do that.
I can do that with my dramatic music. There's a hole in my heart. Something missing. I can't get it back. Thank you. I could do that. I could do that. Stupid Bruce. We're not going to go through his whole life story because it's 40 minutes. Nobody cares. Joe's already asleep. But that's what happens when actors get bored. They just need something to do. You need to wake up to something. You get these things, and then you start fighting with directors and everything. It's just a shame. Just a shame. It reminds me of the story of this lonely lady, and it's a true story. Lonely lady, she lives in Louisiana. She has a cat and a dog.
I think I know who you might be talking about.
Yeah.
Hey, Ellie Mae, does any of this familiar to you?
Any of this familiar? At one time, she was a bright star. She was on the radio, and all the musicians wanted to see her and wanted to be on the shows just to talk to her. But her star tended to dim when she fought with our hero, that's Colin Ryan, and they came into odds with each other. And this one bright, shining star that you look up there turned into a shooting star, falling to the earth. But she rose again,
really?
Selling dildos and adult toys to handicapped adults. That was her way of giving back to society.
Really?
Did you really? I remember you did that years ago, but you.
Really? Really?
So the moral of the story is when she left this giant of a man, she fell to earth and she sucked a dick. In a story.
What?
But now she's... What? Huh? What?
Just what?
And so now she's back. From outer space. With that same old look upon her face. Yeah, I know. But in the studio, I changed the locks. I should have made her give me the key. You know? And, but I can't, we think about Ellie Mae, how she used to be the gleaming star and this bright planet that we look upon and say, or when you wish upon Ellie Mae, our dreams come true. When you wish upon, you know, and then all of a sudden the star went and fell down. That's just how it is.
Hey, geez, you talk about Ellie like she's dead. Ellie, you're still alive, aren't you?
I don't know. Hello.
I'm still here. I'm listening to you two fools.
Come on.
She's in court right now. The pandemic sued her for catching her. So COVID may win the case.
Yeah, I was the best thing that it could ever catch.
Oh, shit. We got the Ellie Mae. No, she's really good. She's still here, and I welcome her voice. But, you know, that's what happened, folks. I'm here. If you can find me, still the best show on Blog Talk. What a train wreck. Joe was driving the train this morning, and he sidetracked us to Bruce Williams. Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. That's Joe's little payback for talking about Trump.
Yeah. Oh, God. Let me derail the train. Oh, let me take off the tracks.
Oh, my God. And, you know, it's even worse. Like I said, I hate this woman. I think she should be off the air. I didn't know Joy Reid. If you don't know Joy Reid is an anchor on MSNBC. She comes on at 4 o'clock Pacific time. So, was it 1 o'clock? East Coast, four, five, six, seven, I guess.
Wasn't she a former congresswoman?
Yeah, but you know, I'm also surprised that she has a Harvard degree. She's a very intelligent woman, but everything turns into racism. I told you this last week. This is not a repeat. She could talk about a puppy that got hit by a car, and we all know about the puppy. And so her lead story could be a puppy got hit by a car, but it'll turn into a black puppy that was hit by a white supremacist driving drunk and was a hit and run. It'll turn into that story. I go, what does a white supremacist have anything to do with hitting the puppy? But Joy could do it. She could do it. She could turn anything. Now, I have not heard her. Let's play a game. I have not heard the clip. Only thing that I do know, the clip says Trump will likely be indicted between 24 more than once. That's all I know. And I guarantee you, when I play this, I wonder how far in am I going to get before we get to racism. I swear to God. I bet 3 minutes.
Five words. No.
Yeah,
I
you think so, Ellen? I think you may be right. We're going to. She's talking about Trump will be indicted, so we're going to see how far she gets without including racism in this story. Here we go. Here's Joy Reid.
The New York Times, as well as his own niece, Mary Trump, over a 2018 report that shattered the illusion of him as a self-made billionaire. With just a touch of hyperbole, Trump accuses them of engaging in an insidious plot to obtain confidential and highly sensitive records, which they exploited for their own benefit. He alleges that by leaking his tax records, Mary Trump, and by extension the Times, broke a two-decades-old confidentiality agreement. And he's claiming a preposterous sum in damages of no less than $100 million. But that so-called insidious plot that Trump alleges, it's called journalism. And by suing the Times, Trump has essentially confirmed their reporting. Now, keep in mind that the story exposed Trump as a tax cheat who inherited his wealth through fraud, which, of course, he denied and called fake news. But if the reporting wasn't true, he'd have sued for defamation, right? Which he notably did not do. Responding to a suit in an interview with the Daily Beast, Mary Trump called her uncle a, quote, effing loser, saying he's going to throw anything against the wall he can. It's desperation. Legal experts also say that Trump should be careful what he wishes for. He's staking his claim on a non-disclosure agreement that may not hold up under scrutiny. And that scrutiny is sure to entail multiple depositions under oath, which he might want to avoid. Joining me now, Tristan Snell, former New York Assistant Attorney General who helped lead the prosecution of Trump University, and David K. Johnson, who has written extensively on Trump and is co-founder of DCReport.org. Mary Trump's lawyer today said the following. This is the latest in a long line of frivolous lawsuits by Donald Trump that target truthful speech and important journalism on issues of public concern. It's doomed to failure like the rest of his baseless efforts to chill freedom of speech and of the press. I feel like this is a giant tell by Trump that he's really, really angry that he was exposed for the brokenness that really engulfs him. Your thoughts?
Well, this is another gambit by Donald to stay in front of his dwindling supporters. They haven't dwindled a lot, but they are starting to dwindle.
You can go on and on with hyperbole and opinion. Nobody's going to do an opinion except for me on this show. If Trump runs for president, he would be 80 years old. But if he makes it, by the end of the term, he'll be 84, 83, 84. People are already laughing at Biden. See, be careful who you laugh at, Republicans, and be careful who you make fun of, and be careful what you say about an old man losing his mind. Do I agree on Biden's how he speaks? Oh, no. I hold my breath when Biden speaks. But he does have a good heart, and he does know politics, and he does know an administration. Trump does not. Biden, as far as I'm concerned, we got to a point where we're voting for personality rather than true character of our president of the United States. And people keep saying, well, Trump started this. No. It started with Obama. People liked his, he was charismatic, and he had a great personality too. And there's other areas why people voted for Obama. So I think maybe then we left our politics or our policy and what the people want behind. And I would have to put it on Obama, then I would put it on Trump, because Obama was the first one to use Twitter, and he got a great base on Twitter. He was the first one to do a lot of things, and people voted for him. One, he was black. People voted for two. Maybe he was charismatic. And so we left our policy behind maybe with Obama. And if people quit they started thinking, you know, forget about infrastructure, that bridge or that pothole that keeps messing up your car, and more about personalities, almost like a celebrity thing. We're using the presidential campaign as a celebrity stronghold, maybe. So I'm sorry for that. And I'm going to derail this train one more time because I'm getting bored talking about politics because you guys don't care. Because the people who like Trump is going to like Trump. People who don't are not or don't. This is not going to change nobody's mind, no matter how crazy a dumb fuck. Because you know what it is? Not because Trump is right. It's because people don't want to believe they're wrong. And they don't want to come off like an idiot. So they're going to defend their decision and who they back. That's just the way of life, folks. I mean, there's still people thinking that Bozo's going to run for president, and I voted for him. I think he will be a great person. But the reason I'm going to divert this, because there was a story. We have some people who still believe in the conspiracy theories, and I'm going to tell you what this happened. I'm not kidding you, how far we are from reality. 1 o'clock in the morning, folks, I turn on the radio. Sometimes I can't sleep. I listen to my favorite show, which is George Norrie. He comes on. He has this show about conspiracy theories, ghosts, things like that. Just weird shit with weird people on the radio. Just weird-ass people that are cray-cray that you don't think that walk the earth among us. So I'm listening to the show, and this lady comes on. She's an older lady. I will try to do her voice, and I will try to do the show. And the reason I'm doing this is to maybe wake up some people who are still in the dark. So I'm sitting there. This is regular radio, and I get the call. He gets a call. He goes, caller, you're on the air. And I'll try to do the voice, but here we go. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello?
Caller, you're on the air.
Hello?
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi.
So I'm trying to do the best I can. How am I doing, Ellen? Am I doing the old lady good? I don't know how I'm doing. How am I doing it? But, so this is a real call. This is a real call.
Oh, my God.
So George Norrie says, yes, can I help you? You call in the show.
Yeah, I want to call about ghost.
Okay, well, what about ghost, lady?
Well, I know that you have a...
Oh, by the way, he had a guest on the show, and his guest was a psychic who believed she was a telepathic to the animals. That she can communicate what your dog says and your cat says, and then she translate her telecommunication as in real speech. She could go to your house and look at your dog and say, and the dog could bark at her like, woof. Oh, the dog says he's unhappy. I mean, I'm serious. This is what the lady's saying. And then the dog goes, what does that mean? Well, the dog is not happy. I think I can guess that, but what's he saying? He says that we're invading his little bubble. I mean, this is, so you see where this is going. So he has her on as a guest. So we go back to the lady.
Hello?
We're still here, ma'am. Just a second. So what was your question? How am I doing, Ellen? So she pretends, so she continues talking, and she says, and I'm listening to this radio. She goes,
I want to ask your guest about my cat.
George Norrie goes, your cat?
Yeah, my cat.
What happened to your cat?
Well, I had that darn cat for 20 years, and he died.
Oh, ma'am, sorry that your cat died.
Yeah, he's a good cat.
How am I doing, Ellen?
Good cat.
So she proceeds to tell the guest,
well, my cat died, and I buried him in the backyard. As soon as I buried him, I looked in the bushes, and there was another cat that came out of the bushes that looked like my cat.
George Norrie always tries to, you know, encourage his guests. I mean, the callers. He goes, "It looked like your cat."
Yes, it had the same color as my cat, and it looked like my cat, and it walked like my cat, and it looked like a cat, and it said meow like my cat.
Oh. So what's your question?
My question is...
This is all true, Ellen. This is... I'm not even making this up. I'm not making this up. This is true. I'm listening to this. Now, I'm not going to tell you why I'm listening to the radio. I'll tell you. I like to go... When I take a number two...
Oh, my God.
Thank you. I'm trying to find it in context. I turn on the radio for easy listening.
TMI.
I'm trying to tell you in context while I'm listening to this. So I'm sitting on a toilet.
No,
I haven't
even
watched.
I don't know why you're listening to the radio while you take a shit.
I do. Don't we all do that? Don't you listen to the radio while you
no.
do that? I don't think I'm the only one.
No.
You do not.
No, I do not.
That's when I listen to radio. You don't do that. I think one out of three Americans have to have a radio in the bathroom. I really believe they have a radio in the bathroom, and this is the cause of it. All right, so here we go.
Oh, my God.
And hey, Ellen, and then later after this, Hammer the Angry Comic is coming on because I have some time to waste. Stay tuned for that.
I got out of bed for this shit today.
I know, right? I know, right? So we're going back with this story. So she's asking this telepathic person about her cat. She goes, could that be my cat? I just buried her and put dirt on her face. And so I'm sitting there. I really am. I'm listening to this. And I can't believe what I'm doing. I mean, I'm sitting here. And so Dory says, well, let's ask our guest. Well, could it be possible that the cat, could that be her cat? And then the other lady, as you can tell, she's even more cricketier than the other one, but she has a deeper voice. She goes, well, and it's a woman.
Oh, God.
Yeah, something out of the Wild West. And it's a woman. Where are you from, ma'am?
Kentucky.
Well, anyway, she said that it's possible. And then Nori goes, what? Well, ma'am, it is possible that is your cat. And the old lady goes, I knew it. It looked like my cat. It had ears like my cat. And it walked like a cat. And it said meow like a cat. I swear that's my cat. He goes, well, ma'am, here's what happens. When your cat died, it was in the middle of transgressing, I guess, going to heaven. And then your cat took its body. I swear to God, I'm sitting on the toilet and I'm listening to this. Your dead cat went into that cat's body and ran across your path and trying to tell you something. Really? I'm listening to this. And then George Norrie saying, really, I did not know that. Yes, and George Norrie asked her, can that be possible? And she's saying, yes, it could be possible for a short period of time because they cannot stay in another person's body because that's a person's body, and the spirit has to move on. So then the professional says, it's only temporary, and then it goes to heaven. And then the lady goes, I knew it. And she goes, but it's only temporary. And then she made the mistake asking the lady, how long was it, you think? Because it was only temporary. 10 years? 10 years? Ma'am, I don't know. You cannot stay in your cat's body for 10 years because then they would invade the cat's body and they would become the cat. So no. It goes on and on and on. And I'm listening to this. And I'm thinking, why did I have to go number two? You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Ellen. So that's what happens. There are people in these worlds that would actually believe such things. And Ellen got me upset. So now when Ellen, do you still have my intro to Hammer the Angry Comic? Because I'd like to be introduced, please.
Let me see if I still have it.
It's a beautiful intro.
And how did I get you upset?
No, because you upset me for no reason at all. I just have to use that as an excuse.
Oh, please. No, I always have
Joe upset me.
You
Joe upsets me.
Upset you now. Okay.
Yeah, he's upsets me. All right.
Okay, yes, I still have it.
You still have the intro? When we come back,
yes.
It's going to be a short show. My first stand-up ever. Here's the deal, folks. I can't tell a joke. I really can't tell a joke. I can't. But I can I can do a Seinfeld thing of seeing ridiculous things and point them out that are funny. But as far as telling a joke, I can't do it. I have never been able to tell a joke. So this is live on the air that I'm going to go, you know, try to overcome my fears and be the stand-up comic that I want to be. And I hope you enjoy this. Meanwhile, Ellen May is our sponsor. I kid her a lot. She's on the show. She was my executive producer. I have a lot of trust in her. She's a good businesswoman. And she has her own thing that's coming up. She has her commercial. And I want you to hear it as we get ready. And not just from me, but from other people who know Ellen. And here you go. And we'll be right back with Hammer the Angry Comic.
Come Undone by Ellen Johnson. Book audio trailer exclusively at MVP On Demand. Terry could taste the blood. Slightly salty and metallic. She winced when her tongue brushed against her swollen lip. She tried to move her hands, but her arms were heavy like lead, and she could feel her wire bonds as they bound her hands tightly against her back and cut into the already raw flesh of her wrists. Terry strained, listening for any familiar sounds that might help her to figure out where she was or whom had taken her. But the only sounds that were audible was her ragged breath, her pounding heart that hurt so bad from beating so hard and fast, and outside, off in the distance, the sound of a foghorn was carried on the wind. Terry felt the wire bonds loosen slightly, and she silently cried out in elation. Then she heard it, low at first, that Terry thought she had imagined it. She turned towards where she thought the noise had come from. Her heart pounded fiercely inside her chest as she thought about all the horror movie cliches, and she had to laugh out loud. "Who's there?" she called out hoarsely. Terry closed her eyes tightly, hoping that her captors didn't hear, and decide to investigate. Silence. Then, Terry heard the noise again. This time she could tell it was a moan and a scraping on the floor. Terry turned her gaze toward the sound, but could see nothing but darkness. "Who's there?" she called out again, but nothing. "Oh my God," Terry thought in despair. "That person is dead." She felt saltiness of her tears sting in her eyes, then slide down her cheeks. Terry bit her lip, wincing in pain as she forgot about the cut. She wanted to scream, lash out at whomever was holding her captive, but she squashed the urge, opting instead to put her anger to better use and work on her bonds and getting free. Terry moved her hands again, despite the excruciating pain, as the wire bindings stripped away her flesh. She was determined to get free, and she would endure any amount of pain that it took to accomplish this task. As she worked, Terry mentally retraced her steps and activities to try and piece together who might be holding her and why, and to also get her mind off the pain in her arms as she loosened her bonds. Then Terry heard that sound again, a low, guttural moan, full of pain. Then a scraping sound across the floor as whoever was in the room with her tried to stand. Terry wanted to call out, let the other person know she was there, but she didn't for fear of it being a trap. Then she heard footsteps coming towards her, heavy and deliberate, somewhat slow, as though they were injured. Terry's heart raced and her breath became shallow, her head spinning from fear as the footsteps drew closer. Then, as if on cue, Terry heard a door open from somewhere in another part of the warehouse, and she heard voices echoing throughout the emptiness. Terry wriggled, and with each movement, her bonds became looser, until she was able to slide her hands free. The voices drew closer, two from what Terry heard, one female and the other male, and they were laughing and joking and carrying on as though nothing was wrong. Terry felt the anger rise from the pit of her stomach, dark and ominous, coming from a place deep within her soul that she didn't know she harbored. It angered her to think that whoever was holding her captive had such little regard for human life. Just then, Terry decided she wasn't going to stand by and let her fate be determined for her. She stood up, deciding to stand her ground, but before she could make a move, she felt a hand cover her mouth and pull her out of sight. This has been Come Undone by Ellen Johnson, a book audio trailer exclusively at MVP On Demand.
Wow. Ooh. And what's the update on your books, Ellen? What's the update?
They're going really slowly because I'm having to start all over from scratch since my hard drive crashed, and I can't get anything back.
Oh, you can't? Oh.
Nope.
Well, you're working on it, aren't you? I know you already sold a couple of copies right now. They're waiting on pre-order, aren't they?
Yeah, they're pre-order copies. So,
okay.
You know, and this is before my hard drive crashed, but I've updated everybody about what's going on, and they understand, so they're being patient.
Okay. Well, there you go. That's a trailer, and you can put your trailer on this show, too. Well done, though, Terry. Well done. Well, here's a story. You know, I think the update of Hammer the Angry the jokes are gone. Somebody took my jokes. Seriously, I was all set.
Oh,
I was all set to do my set.
Are you serious?
I was.
Are you
serious? Yeah. My jokes are gone.
Did you take Mr. Brian's joke?
He stole my jokes. Stop the steal, people.
No, I did not.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sitting here. I'm going. I know, Ellen. I'm ready to go on. You know what I mean? I'm ready to go on. The show must go on. And they stole my jokes.
Say hi, Sebastian.
I know. Now you're talking to the doggy. People think you're crazy. Uh-oh. She lost
it. No, he's listening to your voice, and his ears are up, and his head cocked to the side.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
say something,
did
Brian.
You? Okay, hello, Sebastian. How you doing, Sebastian?
His ears are going back. He's looking at the phone.
Oh man, these are people. Until I find my jokes, I was ready to go on the air. I mean, I wanted to do it. I've been thinking about it. But let's go. You know, I'm really surprised. Do we even care anymore that who's gay, who's not gay? But these are things that you're surprised. There's some people that you
Free Britney,
you know,
Free Britney.
Britney. I know. Free Britney. Gay people. What the hell? These are people.
No, did you hear the story talking about Britney Spears? Did you hear the story that her father might be in trouble for planting listening devices in her bedroom?
Yeah, but he'll never go to jail. You know what this is? It's like Trump. Trump will never go to jail. But it's a smear campaign to say, well, we already know how bad he is. You know why? It's not so much Trump, because we can't stand the motherfucker. It's how it's going to look to the to the rest of the nations that we put a former president in jail.
No,
it's almost like a third world country.
No, you know what it's going to say? It's going to say that we're finally holding people accountable who need to be held accountable and throwing their asses in jail no matter who the fuck they are.
Right. That's true. But you know, the quarantine is, you know, this pandemic has caused a lot of problems. Cannot lock down human. Let me go. I hear any feedback because Joe's asleep. He's not listening. So, Joe, what I'm going to do when he's ready to raise his hand, I'm going to let him in because I'm hearing feedback. Just a second. Joe. Our pal, Joey. Joe would know what that means. Our pal, Joey.
Push my hand away.
You know you're talking to a dog, don't you? You know, one day he's going to talk back, Fane.
No.
He's going to talk back one day.
On my blanket and, yeah, he's chewing on my blanket, and he's pushing my hand away when I'm trying to take the blanket from him.
Well, that's because he thinks you're playing with him. That's how you used to play with Rudy. You push the blanket off, and then he tickles you, and you know what happens next. You have Aaron.
Yeah, okay.
Speaking of Aaron, give us an update on your little daughter when she came on the show at 9 years old. Now she's at LSU. What's the update on her? How's she doing, kiddo?
She's doing really good, actually. You know, she was here yesterday. She came in for the weekend. She came in Friday night. And, you know, she hangs around with her friend. I hardly get to see her when she's in town. I might see her for 5 minutes when she comes in just in time to go to sleep. And yesterday she had to go to work and everything. And, you know, but Thursday she has to come back in town because she has the neck surgery Thursday. She has to get surgery on her neck.
Well, I wish her the best, and you know I do. I joke around with her a lot, but I wish her the best. But, you know, let me tell you, I think the pandemic has destroyed relationships, people. I have never seen so many news reports of mothers killing their babies. This is not a joke. I mean, almost every day I'm hearing some mother flips out and stabbing their kids. I mean, it got to be ridiculous. It does things to your mind. Even the best couples, it can fuck up. Here we go. Item one. Ashton Kutcher. And is it Mila or Mila Kunis? Is it Mila or Mila?
Mila
Kunis. They say their marriage is falling apart. I mean, these used to be kindred spirits. I mean, these people were on a different planet together. They were so in love. But what's happening is they were quarantined. See, it's easy to be in love when you go to work 9 to 5 and then you come home around 6:30 and maybe you have maybe an hour with the kids. It's 7:30 now. And then you're preparing them to go to bed around 7:30. The kids are taking their bath. By the time they're taking their bath, they get ready to go. It's like 9:30. And then they're asleep. So you spend a total time at home maybe 2 hours. Think about that. And, of course, your marriage is going to last because you're not seeing them. But the real test is, how do you know you're compatible with someone? I'll tell you. If you really want to know the shortcut, take a long car ride with the dear one that you love. A three-hour ride.
And see if you survive. That's not long enough.
Yeah, just take.
That's not long enough.
Oh, yeah. 3 hours up, 3 hours up, 3 hours back. That's 6 hours. Take a ride. And if you really want to know if you're compatible and you're still in love when you get back, you might have a shot. Because I'm going to tell you, the pandemic is opening up people's eyes. It's like, do I really like these kids? And who are they? And they're mine, and I don't really like them. And parents don't want to admit that. There's a lot of parents out there who hate their children. And I know it sounds wrong. But there are, because kids get on your nerves. They're doing stupid stuff, and they're continuously being morons. And it came from you. But you're okay because you love your kids, because they're gone at 7 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon. And they're gone so much, and you miss them, and I love them and everything. Then they come home, and you realize that you gave birth to maniac serial killers, sociopaths, terrorists, little human beings. They're bad people. And you won't admit that your kids are bad people. And they're going to grow up to be bad humans and bad adults. And they're going to breed again to have your grandchildren will be the product of Satan's sperm. But you did everything right. So, you know, what the quarantine did was made us face our worst fears. You know what our worst fear is? It's not about being on a ventilator. It's not about going to a hospital. Our main fear is we look around and saying, this is the guy or this is the woman I'm married to, and I hate her. I can't get out of the house. I'm quarantined. I don't want to be near her. I don't even understand this person. They're an alien. And then you first meet them because their boobs used to be up high, and now their boobs are low. Now they're going through the menopausal thing, and they call it menopause for a reason, but they're not pausing. They're just going straight ahead, and they're putting their foot to the gas pedal. What happened to the pause? True. So you're looking at this person because now for the first year you are stuck in the house. You work from home. She's there. And I can go, you can replace she with he anytime. I'm saying both. Do you really think, you should see Cindy. Cindy already filed for government assistance for living with an insane person because of a sanity plea. She thinks she can get some money out of this. She really does. There has to be a program for this. She's the one that will go to a party and point at me saying, look, I picked this one. I hate my life. That's her. That is her. But if you really, so the best of marriages and the best relationship and people, they cannot be quarantined. They cannot be in a cage. And here it is, Ashton Kutcher. That's what he says. Trouble in quarantine. Ashton Kutcher and Mila Nunes, Kunis, what's her name? Mila?
Kunis.
Mila. Oh, Kunis.
Mila.
I don't know if they're married. I thought they got married. Didn't they get married?
No, they're not married. They're just living together. They have two kids.
No, they actually got married because it says here, they're not going to make it to their fifth wedding anniversary because of the coronavirus lockdown. So they actually did get married. Now, this story was published a year ago, and the update is that Kutcher is into the wind. He's off the grid. Here we go. So here's what's happening here. So Ashton Kutcher and Kunis, they're hanging on by a thread. A year ago, the woman's day alleged it would be a miracle if Ashton Kutcher and Kunis made it their sixth wedding anniversary. Now, how do they get these stories? How do they know? You don't. Let me tell you what they used to do. You know the infamous ones who used to do this is Roseanne Barr, and she was married to Tom Arnold. And what they used to do is on their off, when they're not shooting, they were bored. And they scammed how to make millions. So Tom Arnold used to call in these gossip magazines and TMZ. It was TMZ with a different voice. And tell them inside information what was going on with her and Roseanne, with him and Roseanne Barr, which was not true. They made up these stories. And TMZ and other outlets used to pay them big money for this information. And of course, when they actually go to Roseanne Barr to get a statement, she refuses and she said it's utter nonsense. But Tom used to give enough true information to make it look real. You get what I'm saying? Now, I would do the same thing. I would make $1 million. I would go, hey, Ellen. Ellen go, what? I go, Ellen, what? Ellen, what? I said, look, we can make some money. Let's have an inside story that I'm a drunkard and that I smoke marijuana and that I bite my toenails and that I abuse you. I hit you over the head with a bottle. Okay? Now, people will believe that. And you say, I don't know if I want to say this. I go, you know what? $2 million, would you say for $2 million? You go, yeah, you're damn right. Ellen's on the phone. And they would buy the story. That's how it works, folks. This is how it works. They used to do that all the time, and they admitted it. They did it all the time. They made millions on these rag magazines telling their shit. And another scam that actors do is, do you ever hear actors buy a house and they never lived in it? It used to be a big scam.
Yeah.
Do you ever hear those stories? That they're always building, right? It's like, oh, you're buying a house in Beverly Hills. Yes, we're always in construction. We're always adding things, but they're never lived in it. Well, a lot of you guys didn't know what happens when an actor, a well-known actor, let's say a first, you know what I'm saying, celebrity. When they buy a house, they know that when they leave, it triples in value. Let's say Bruce Willis bought a house for $5 million. Him and Demi Moore decides to move to Texas. it would be on the market. That house is now going for $15 million because Bruce Willis and Demi Moore lived there. And it could be a little piece of shit of a house. But because they lived there, it tripled value. And that's how this scam goes. So now they make $10 million maybe on a house they never lived in. But the realtor will tell everybody, this is their house and this and this and this. You get it. So they do enough of that, you can make $10 million. You can make $1 million. My God. Can you imagine somebody giving you, hey, the lottery, you must play the lottery. You know, the lottery is up to $586 million today. But let me go back to that. So that's another scam that actors do. They would buy these houses for like $3 million, $4 million. Some may live there for a week, just to say it was lived there. Some won't even. You'll hear them say they're doing construction work, blah, blah, blah. Because there's no reference of them registering there. There's no reference of them living there, blah, blah, blah. But they will say, we're not living there. We're doing construction and adding on. And they would do this, $3 million, $4 million. And then they would sell the house for $15, $10, $15, and make millions. That was the scam. That's the scam. That's how they did it.
Is
like
it
you and I, Ellen.
Tom Arnold.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying to think that Tom Arnold played on NCIS New Orleans.
Yeah. Well, he used to do a lot of scams, Tom Arnold used to do. He used to be so coked out, remember? Got towards the end, did you see him, his hands always shaked and he was always moving around and everything? He was so coked out. Now, if you know that he was coked out, you know Roseanne was coked too. So it's kind of thing. So going back to Austin Kutcher, so we're thinking, hey, these guys are going to make it. Well, not so much. And they're blaming it on the pandemic. You can't blame it on the pandemic. You blamed it on, hey, I did not know who your stupid ass was until I had to spend some time with you. They also came out and they started to brag that they don't take baths. That they don't believe in taking baths. When they start to smell,
the thing was they didn't believe in bathing their kids every night.
Them too. They were saying them too. That's what they believe in. So I'm thinking this story is a Tom Arnold and Roseanne, let's have some fun, we're bored kind of story, and let's make millions, let's see if they print it kind of story, because it's really not about nothing, because it says here, an unnamed insider, probably Austin, noted that quarantine policies that were in place at the time locked them together 24/7, causing strain on the relationship. However, you know they have like three kids. The same source revealed life under lockdown wasn't the only reason the two were on the verge of divorce. You tell me this is not a plot story. I mean, this is not a planned story. It goes in worse. This isn't just about co-parenting. They've gone through a lot, the insider leak. Insider is called a publicist. What do you call it? Publicity people. Publicist? This is what it's called, a publicist. Unknown person who's really close to the Kutchers. I know the inside shit about them being quarantined and what she said and he said. Who would know that? Who lives in that house or what cameras in that house that she would know this information? See, you got to really think out of the box. Shut up. And remember what I told you. Usually when there's stories like this, that tells me there's an underlying, I haven't finished the whole copy of the story, but they're usually underlying things about somebody has a movie coming out or somebody's doing or has a book coming out. So they grab you with this, so now they're back being relevant again. And they come up with shit so they get your attention because they're in the news. Because it gets even worse with stupid stuff. So this unknown insider leaked this information. It was a longtime friend. Referred to the fact that the Kutcher's ex-wife, Demi Moore, didn't paint Kutcher in the greatest light. In a very honest memoir about her life. So now they're promoting the book. Why couldn't you just say Demi Moore just didn't get along? Debbie Moore didn't paint. You know, you could tell an author when they do this bullshit. Authors talk like weird shit. They don't say real language. Well, they didn't paint Kusher in the greatest light. What the fuck does... See, sometimes authors get in their head that they're so creative with words, they get so wordy and so creative with words that it loses to regular guys like me. Who talks like this? Well, we didn't paint him in the greatest light. Well, maybe turn on a light bulb or something so you can see the little numbers. I don't know. What does that mean? You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Mila described the whole thing. It goes, in a very honest memoir, Mila described the whole thing as very embarrassing for Austin. Now, if they were really having a fight, do you think Mila is going to describe the relationship? Well, it's very embarrassing for him. No, motherfucker, I threw the motherfucker out. That's it. She's not going to say, why would she care if it's embarrassing for him, if this was true? Well, that's what a friend said. So now we're getting information from a friend of a friend of a friend who's taking OxyContin, who's giving you this information so they can buy more drugs. Okay, fine. Let's do that. The friend said the tabloid also claimed that Kusher. Now, the friend said the tabloid. So the friend read the tabloid. So the friend is now telling you what the tabloid said. Well, I read it in the tabloid that Kusher came off as not the most reliable boyfriend. If this is the worst you got. He's not a reliable boyfriend. You could tell this is bullshit because they're not really saying anything bad. He comes off as not a reliable. What man is reliable? Give me one man in this world, you women, give me one man in this world who's reliable besides Obama. He's like a puppy.
Yeah,
every
woman. I don't know any reliable man.
Right. Is that the worst you're saying, that he's not reliable? This is some bullshit. Can you tell that we're not saying anything bad? But the headline says, ooh, their marriage is ending during the pandemic. And the worst thing that you're saying is that, well, I heard he's not reliable. And what does that mean? At your beck and call? I'm not reliable. I'm like a puppy that has AHAD or whatever it is. What?
ADHD?
ADHD. That's what I'm a puppy that has that. I told you to sit. I told you to sit. What? Sit. What? Sit. You want me to sit? Yeah, I want you to sit, puppy. What? Sit. All right, I'm sitting. Where are you going? I'm going to go over here to sit. Why are you going over there? I told you to sit. Well, I'm going to go over here to sit. You're not the boss of me. I am. I'm your master. Ooh, look at you, my master. The one that when I shit that you pick up my poop? Uh-huh. When I pick up your poop, then you're the master. But until then, I get shit, and then you go, pick it up. Who's the boss now, bitch? I would be the worst puppy on AD. I would be one of those crazy puppies. My puppy's bipolar. But I like you. I hate you. No, pet me. Crazy dog.
Puppy bipolar or manic depressive?
Bipolar puppy. Pet me. Why did you buy me? I don't know. Pet me again. You know, the biggest joke, and I die laughing. I heard this joke 25 years ago, whatever, when I was a kid, and I still laugh. There was a series called Pink Panther, and I forgot the actor who played Clouseau, Inspector Clouseau. Peter Sellers. Peter Sellers. I can almost hear the song right now. Do it with me, Ellen. Do-do. 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 It was the coolest thing that came out that time, wasn't it? That was so fucking cool. Even the Pink Panther looked cool, right? You see how he walked with his shoulders? Huh?
What the hell's fucking? What the hell's fucking?
What do you mean fucking? What are you talking about?
No, you said it was so fucking cool.
It was, wasn't it?
And fucking.
So we're fucking, yeah, frickin' and fucking, vruckin'. But it was so fucking cool that how he walked and his shoulders to the thing, do-do-do-do. So, and then I started thinking, everybody likes the Black Panther. Does a Black Panther eat the Pink Panther? And what's Pink?
Oh, God.
No, forget it. Let's not go down there. Do-do.
Yeah, please. Seriously?
Exactly. So anyway, I don't know how I got on the Panthers. So the worst thing she's saying is that Austin is not the most, didn't say not reliable, not the most reliable. So now she's putting in a category. When he testifies at the trial, Ashley, of course her name is Ashley, Ashley Erland's murderer. I don't know what that means. Oh, when he was, oh, when Astor, oh, remember he dated that girl who got murdered?
Yeah,
we're talking about Astor Kutcher?
Yeah.
I guess
yeah,
her name
he,
was Ashley.
Yeah, he was actually the one that found her. He was going to her house to pick her up for their date. And he
for their date,
the window
right?
And saw her laying, yeah, saw her laying there on the floor in the living room.
Right. I think he did it.
No,
so anyway.
He didn't do it. Her. No, they already got the guy that did it. He was a serial killer. She was one of like six or seven women that this guy killed.
Mm.
The guy was a serial killer.
Right. Well, they said that things were not. So going back to the close friend about the marriage, it says things aren't easy in their household at the moment. And it says the number of flaws in the story, they're talking about the story has flaws. Of course, it was true. Kunis and Kutcher was quarantined last year. Everybody was. Still, she claims it was causing marital problems, which was untrue. The couple celebrated their sixth anniversary and appeared as happy as ever, so it's clear that the tension was a fib. The rest of the story also remained a lie, as well as being blatantly disrespectful. First off, Demi Moore's personal memoir didn't hurt Kunis and Kutcher relationship. Kunis admitted she and Kutcher shared everything about their lives before marrying. Now, you guys did not know that when they were married, Demi Moore liked to eat some pussy. She was a pussy eater. Did you know that? she went out of the marriage a lot, and she was a pussy hunter. And in fact, she ate so much pussy, she became diabetic. True story.
Damn. What did Bruce Willis think about that?
He didn't like it. Bruce didn't like it either. He divorced her ass.
He divorced her ass.
Yeah, he didn't like it. He divorced her ass. And Kutcher thought he could hang with her. He didn't like it. It got all of that. You know what she reminded me of? Miley Cyrus today. You think of Hemsley, this is a good-looking guy. You know, the guy who plays Thor on the Avengers?
Mm-hmm.
He was married to Miley Cyrus for, I think, 6 months, maybe to a year. And he couldn't take her whoring around with women and girls and all of ages, 18 and over. But he couldn't take her wild activity. Now, Miley Cyrus claims she's gay. She's gay now. In fact, she claims she's gay. In fact, my guy, Pirates of the Caribbean actor, my guy.
Johnny Depp.
The whole thing with Johnny Depp and that woman, his girlfriend of that bitch that tried to sue him, and she claimed that he tried to kill her. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, the actress.
Yeah.
Well, Miley Cyrus and her were fooling around. Miley admitted that she was having an affair with her. Now they're together.
I wonder what Billy Ray thinks of that.
My achy breaking heart. Yeah. Oh, my God, Billy Ray. So there you go. And so this story, they're even saying this story is not true. But what the hell? And then we got a new scandal out there, and I don't believe it. It's Khloe Kardashian. See, now here's how the publicist machine works. Nobody gives a fuck about Khloe. Nobody cares. But this sellout bitch whore.
Oh, God. What'd she do?
Decides to put her name. You don't think
she's
a whore? You don't think she's a whore?
I said, oh, God, what'd she do?
She's an ugly. Did you see her kid? That's an ugly kid. You see the commercial with her puffy lips? Did you see? I saw her recently. She did a thing with, was it? Who was it? It was one of the late night. This is called Fallon because he does this bullshit with these people. And Khloe was on there. Did you see her ass? Her ass, even black women will go, damn, this is plastic surgery that went horribly wrong.
Okay.
Her ass.
I told you. I think all three of them, Khloe, Kim, and Courtney, I think they all got ass implants.
Oh, they did. But it was a weird ass shape. It wasn't even an ass. She got it. The only best way I can describe it. Like a sand dune. It was not even shaped like an ass. You can see she was wearing something. And I never seen, you look at the TV and go, is that an ass? Or you think that she's having a garter that just went backwards and went just a fucked up garter back there. It was horrible. It wasn't even look like an ass.
Brian, it's not a garter, it's a goiter. A goiter.
A goiter. She had a goiter ass. It looked like a big giant lump of goiter. It had no shape. It was just fucked up. You look at the ass going, that's not an ass.
You better not piss somebody off because they might get a pin and pop it.
Oh, I'm not kidding. You should see it. It was sickening.
I've seen her. She looks like total shit right now. She's doing some kind of Candy Crush challenge.
That's the one. She was doing that. She was promoting that bullshit. Yeah. She's Candy Crush. I mean, there's supposed to be some contest, or she's doing a Candy Crush.
Yeah.
Whatever, because she likes candies. Yeah.
It's a competition. Candy Crush is the most annoying game that you can ever have.
Oh, it's a game?
I used to have Candy Crush. It's a game. It's a game on your phone.
You
said that Sydney played Candy Crush.
Candy. Oh, God. It's an old school game, isn't it? It's an old school game.
No,
That was before Angry Birds, wasn't it? I mean, Angry Birds came later.
Angry Birds came out first, and then Candy Crush, and they made all kinds of improvements to Candy Crush.
Really? Okay.
Mm-hmm. And now all the celebrities are getting into it.
Oh, really? Yeah, right. Well, you know, pandemic, who knows? Well, this piece of scientific experiment, this walking beast that they call Khloe Kardashian. Ugh. Did you see the commercial with her and her kid with her big stupid lips? And everything, and her chin, and did you see that commercial?
The one where she's doing for migraine medicine.
Yes, it's for migraine. And that kid was so annoying. Get rid of the kid. You lose your migraine. Done. Yeah. And the kid comes jumping on her. Even the kid had plastic surgery. You can tell that kid had the face fillers. Stupid kid. A stupid kid. Well, anyway, how old do you think Khloe is?
Khloe's like 29, I think. 29 or 30.
She's 37 years old.
Damn.
And like her mom, the whore, she's queen whore. They follow in her footsteps. These pieces of trash, these beasts, these throwaways, these nuclear humans.
You know,
well, Khloe decides that the world needs, huh?
I was going to say the only sane ones in that family are Kylie and Kendall.
I like Kendall. Kylie was the only sane one. Is that the model who got broke away from that crazy family and started her own career and she wanted to be a model? Is that the one?
Kylie's the one that has her own skincare and cosmetic line.
Okay. And she's a billionaire. I mean, I like them, but
yeah.
they're from the fruit of an acid tree. Remember who their father is. You know, let me tell you guys, I'm going off of a rant here because we're tired of politics. Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you something. You guys, listen. I'm talking to my young guys. It's not, you really want to get late? Let me tell you something. Here's what you look for. You look for a woman. I'm going to tell them what to look for because it's true. You look for, first of all, you look for a woman that doesn't have a father figure in the home, that was raised by a single mom. Right away, she's a whore. She's looking for daddy. And she'll do anything for daddy.
I was raised by my mother by herself, and I wasn't a whore.
Suck a dick. You're an exception. Oh, really? Let me hear. I have a commercial here about dildos, half fries, and the curly ones, and the rib tip too. No, I'm only kidding. Let me just tell you, not everyone's a whore. But let me just tell you something. They fuck really early and fast. And I'll tell you this. So what you want to do, guys, is you want to find a girl. And when you find a girl that has no father figure in the home, the mother still thinks she's 20 and trying to fit in your clothes and going out to her girlfriends in the PTA and wearing your clothes to the parent-teacher's conference, bingo. You can probably get them both in bed. But let me tell you. When you find a girl that has no father in the home, you're for sure going to get laid. 100%, no problem whatsoever. Because she's fucked up. She's going to be looking for a father figure. She's going to be looking for somebody in her home. And chances are she's been molested, to be honest with you. So you got a broken arrow on your hands here. And what do? You can have kinky sex. You can do a lot of stuff. You can do this. I'm not encouraging this. I'm just telling the guys, really? When you find somebody with a broken home, girls are easy. Even better, find a girl that don't get along with her father. Find a girl that is distant from her father. Find a girl that's always trying to get her father's approval. You got her. You got jackpot. You got one fucked up freaky bitch. You do. And you can do anything you want to. You can sell her. She'll come back. You can go to swing parties with her. You can do anything you want. She's a toy. She's always looking for not so much daddy's approval, but she's also will look for approval of any man. These girls usually become, you know who these girls are. They are so insecure that they become cheerleaders, drill things. That's what they do. Anything that's showy to show them off. And the only thing that they have left is their tight little bumps. And they know it. And their titties. And these girls are usually good-looking girls with nice titties. Now, if you see a fat beast, some of you guys are in for the fatty, and she's a beast. Now, you can tell them, these are people with eating disorders at age 13. They weigh about 300 pounds. All she wrote. And let me tell you about fat girls, man. I'm going to tell you something. I dabbled in the fatness. I went to the bowels of the beast. You know, I went there.
Oh, my God.
You know? I just wanted to try it out. And I don't know. Everything was okay until she wanted to get on top of me and ride me like a cowboy. And I'm going, whoa, hang on there, dull girl. You know what I mean? Because I had like a six pack and I'm looking at this beast trying to shimmy up on there. And the only thing was keeping her from hitting herself on the ground was my penis inside of her that she's holding on and riding it like a pony. That's the only thing that's keeping her balance. As soon as I have an orgasm, she's hitting the ground. Uh-oh. There's no seatbelt here, lady. It's true. Can I get on you, Brian? What? Yeah. Look at this. Are you a girl? Let me lift up my fat. Oh, okay. There it is. Hidden under your stomach. Okay. There it is. And sometimes if she's really overweight, she may bring snacks because she'll hide the food in her. Sometimes when she eats and the food falls in her belly button, she saves it for later for a midnight snack. Sometimes you can have a snack while you. Or you could.
That's disgusting. That's gross.
It's true. It is true. So we're going back to this piece of trash, this nuclear shitstorm called Khloe Kardashian. So she decides to pose for her new, I guess she got a new denim account. So it claims here, and this is from her mother, Queen Whore, that she's blowing up Twitter and she's blowing up TikTok and everything. No, she's not blowing up. The only thing that she's blowing is on her knees or some musician who's a rapper. That's the only thing that she's blowing up, and she's blowing them. That's one ugly kid you got there, Khloe. Not all kids are beautiful. You know that, Ellen? I mean, have you seen people? I have had that happen. And you could tell that the kids are ugly because the expression, you can't control the expression on your face. It's like, damn. I have seen ugly kids.
It's like that commercial where you just want to get to know and meet your new more niece. And the computer keeps freezing up and she's making a face and her sister thinks that she's snubbing the baby.
I didn't see that one.
You never saw that one?
But it sounds funny.
It's funny.
It does sound
funny. It is funny.
Funny. So how does the Kardashians get attention? Take one guess. I go to contestant one, Ellen. How does a Kardashian get attention for a product?
Just
Tom
Arnold
topless.
And Roseanne. Yeah.
Right. They went right back to what they're good for. They went right back to what they're good for being a cum disposal unit. That's what they're good for. So at 37, she got a Levi account or whatever. So she posed topless for it. And they said, and let me tell you how stupid it is. And you know Chris is behind this because Chris is their manager. I don't care what you say. Khloe Kardashian, the latest topless photo shoot has landed her in hot water. Really? Do we really need to see 37-year-old titties? Really?
Oh,
and that landed you in hot water?
Doing?
Seriously?
You know what they're doing?
What?
You're
promoting
what
they're
this
doing,
bullshit. Brian?
Mm-hmm.
They're going back. Remember when Brooke Shields posed topless in her Calvin
yes.
Klein?
Yes. But you got to remember how old Brooke Shields was. See, that was a controversy. Brooke Shields, I don't believe she was 18 at the time. I think she was 17 when she did that commercial. We might want to check it.
Yeah.
Because that
yeah,
was the
controversy.
Hold on.
I'm going to look
sorry.
It up right now and see how
okay,
old
yeah,
Brooke
please
Shields
look that up. Because there was a controversy with her because she said in the ad, nothing's between me and my Calvins. That
yeah,
got her into.
Between me and my Calvin Klein's.
Right. That blew up the whole network because now they knew that she wasn't wearing any underwear. And so there she was on a commercial. And this commercial appeared, if I remember right, in the 70s that she was actually there covering part of her chest. And she says nothing comes between her and her Calvins. It was a commercial. And I got a feeling she was 17 at the time and not really 18. I don't know. But you're right, Ellen. They're trying to do this bullshit, huh? Ripping off
mm-hmm.
her. So it says here, the 37-year-old reality star, and believe me, there's no such thing as a reality star. It's all scripted, folks. So she's not.
She was
there's
only
nothing
15,
real.
Brian. 15,
she was 15 years.
And CBS banned it.
Right. Because she was topless in her Levi's. I think I did see the commercial. I think you can see it on YouTube. She was 15 when she did that? Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow. Fifth, I remember the commercials. I could see the jeans. I remember the jeans. I remember her being topless, and she had her arm, you know, covering her breasts and everything. And I remember her looking in the camera. She was all in her makeup and everything. And she says, nothing comes between me and my Calvins. And that line really went censored. It went crazy. Now you got a 15-year-old. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, CBS banned it. And they took it out of the magazines, too.
Did they really?
Yeah.
On
November 19th, 1980, CBS banned a Calvin Klein jean advertisement featuring Brooke Shields. The television and print ad featured the 15-year-old starlet and model posed seductively in the skin-tight designer denim jeans.
Wow. Wow. That's right. Brooke Shields did it first. So Kardashian, here it is. She was, it's called Good American. That's the product called Good American. Founder ditched the shirt for a bold video to promote her 2016 founded denim brand. But it looks like the blonde opting out of the top was a little bit too much for the TV station, and the promos have been flat out rejected. You're 37 years old. You have three kids and everything. And so there's no other way that you can promote your jeans than you have to post topless? Are you freaking kidding me? So they banned it.
Hmm.
She's upset. She says her best-selling brand now includes gym wear, swim pieces, size, exclusive shoes. It said they have been forced to edit the video to make them a little less steamy. Steamy? That's not steamy. That's gross. The Kardashian shoot, staying simple, showed her shot against a blush pink wall while leaning forward in figure-hugging jeans, topless. The mom to 2018-born True Thompson. Is that his name? She named her kid True, T-R-U-E? Did she name her kid True?
Yeah.
True Thompson is the name?
It's a girl.
It's a girl. She named her kid True? True Thompson
mm-hmm.
is her name.
Yeah.
Remember we called the mental...
Kim's kids are north and west, or north and east, or north and whatever
man.
Her kids' names are.
Yeah, well, east, west, north, south, whatever. And she made Kanye West go cuckoo.
You can't remember where your kids are, so you have to name them coordinates?
I know. Can you believe these people? She named her kid True.
Well, like I said, the only sane ones in that family are Kendall and Kylie. They had the sense enough to break away from the craziness and go out on their own.
Right. Well, that's the news. I like to get the hell out of here. Oh, this is just embarrassing. So anyway, that's another one of these things that we're saying your publicists will put out shit like this. To start controversy, get you talking so you can buy the product. This is nobody's talking about this. Nobody's talking about Chloe. Nobody's talking about Kim. Nobody gives a shit about this. But the publicist will say, oh, they banned her. They did this. This is what they do. You create stuff. And we see through this bullshit. That's it.
Your stupid ass needs to be banned for doing crazy shit like you do. You need to set better examples for your kids.
Well, look at. Well, she loves Uncle OJ. That's what they used to call him, Uncle OJ. Some people say that Chloe is OJ's daughter. So.
Huh.
And before we leave, these are the things that are happening, and these are the things that is trending on my Twitter. What's trending here is, let me see here. Here's what's trending. Okay, here's, well, for me, what's trending, because this is my shit. that I like to look at. COVID-19 news update. Omarosa, she's trending. Roger Sullenberger found true love. Suckers. New for decades, Trump has been sprawling NDAs to intimidate employees and associates into silence. But he just lost a case to Omarosa that could help bring his political and corporate secrets down on its head. Yay! And that's according to the Daily Beast. He's just a born loser, Matt. I have never seen a person who's just a born loser. Just when he's born, he was a loser. Ben Affleck is trending.
I've never seen a more whiny person in my entire life.
I haven't either. Ben Affleck is trending. It says
twinning,
here,
huh?
Yeah, he wants to play Batman again in The Flash. So now he went from Batman to Flash, Gordon, The Flash, I guess. It was really nice to revisit that as the prior experience had been difficult. Shut up, you Ben Affleck. You went back to J-Lo.
Yeah, you went low.
Yeah, you went J-Lo.
That's what I'm saying. Him and Jennifer Lopez are back together.
Are they really, or you think they're just having a little booty call?
No, I think they're probably back together.
I don't know.
I mean, because, I don't know. I felt like, you know, their relationship when they were planning on getting married and everything, you know, they should have got married.
Well, you know
who's real. Shouldn't have been. I mean, Mark.
You think they should have? Let me give you a trivia. Let's see if you can answer the first time. How many times Jennifer Lopez been married? How many times?
I don't know. I know she was married to Mark Anthony, but who was she married to? I think she was married to somebody else twice. I think she was married twice.
Twice? So you say twice?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more than that. Let's see. I think she was married 5 times.
What? I don't think she was married that many times.
You don't think so? Let me see. Okay, here we go. How many marriages? She was married 3 times.
Okay, so I was one off.
Yeah, she was married to Getty, Jennifer Lopez, and Alex Rodriguez. And Jennifer Lopez, Alex Rodriguez. The singer and actress has been married 3 times and has broken off in a previous engagement to J-Lo has been married to Mark Anthony, the father of her twins, Max and Emmy, Chris Judd, and Johnny Noah. What the fuck? Oh, that's her kids? Of her twins, Max and Emmy, Chris Judd, and, yeah, those must be her kids. You know how much she's worth? You know how much J-Lo's worth?
A lot of money.
Take a guess.
A lot of
Take
money.
Take a guess. Take one guess. It's more than $200 million. Take a guess. It's more than $200 million.
I say about $350 million.
You're very close. She's worth $400 million. How tall do you think she is? How tall do you think
she's not that tall, about 5'5".
Wow, that's pretty damn good. You right on. Bingo. And how old do you think she is?
Oh, she's in her 50s.
Okay, take a guess. She is in her 50s. How old do you think she is?
I think I just read somewhere that she's like 54, 55.
Yeah, she's 52.
Okay.
She's 52. She looks good for 52, I got to admit that. Hey, Joe, she was good. She looks good for 52. You know, but she's a tool. I heard that she's a nutcase. She's just nuts. You know, all these people are nuts. I mean, think about it. You expect these people who go to these industries and pretend they're someone else. They write the words in your mouth that you become a character that's not even made, like you become the Hulk. You're a grown-ass man and says, we're going to make you a cartoon. Okay. How much do I get paid? $3 million? No problem. You know they got problems. You know who has problems? I mean, who would you want to guess? Who has more problems? You have to guess. actors, models, actors, models, or entertainers. Let's go musicians. Actor, models, and musicians. Who do you think has the most mental problems?
I'd say models do because they have to watch their body image. Oh, you can't eat this. You can't eat that. You can't do this.
Hmm.
Everything
you got a strong case there. You got a strong case there. I will say actors because you're playing a part of so many different roles. Some of them become immersed in the character, and they become the character. Some of them don't come out of character till the movie's over, and then when they do, they have a personality problem. You know? Musicians are just playing cray-cray. They're just cray-cray.
Hey, I know musicians, and they're not crazy.
Nah, they're crazy. All musicians are crazy. Show me one sane.
No,
give me one sane. Give me one thing besides John Jovi, besides John Bon Jovi or whatever his name is. Here we go.
Okay,
let me just continue.
You really can't go there, okay? Because Richie Sambora, John Bon Jovi told Richie Sambora that he had to leave the band until he got himself straight.
I like Richie. Ever since Richie left the band, John Van Jovi? What is his name?
John Bon Jovi.
Oh, Bon Jovi, not Van Jovi. That's his brother, Van. But Bon Jovi. You never hear about his brother, Van. That's John Van. Nobody knows about it. He's a roadie. You don't hear about him. He'll write a book. But ever since Richie was the personality of that band. I love Richie Sambora. I love the dude. I think he was the personality of that whole band, don't you think?
I guess. I don't know.
Oh, you're not into...
No, I like Bon Jovi. You know, I...
Okay. Well, anyway, I think musicians are the worst. I mean, musicians are not the worst. They're having fun. But for mental illness, I have to say actors who play different roles and different people every day. I really have to believe that and stay in character and they lose who they are. Now, you know who I think are the real cuckoos are authors. Authors are enablers of the cuckoo. Yeah. You guys write stories that are not there and what pretend people in it, and they're always in your head, and they're having sex, and they're killing people, invisible people. We had an author on not so long ago said, I like to kill people. I write it in my book. Oh, nothing wrong with you.
Well, you know
you
what?
Authors.
At least you can't be sent to jail for that.
I don't know.
You're talking about a real murder that you committed, and you did write it in the book.
Probably. And there's been that, too. So here's what's trending on Twitter. I did see a Twitter cat. Okay. Here we go. On my Twitter, that's trending, and each one of you guys have your own Twitter. My Twitter is Bannon. He's on Twitter. They're talking about Steve Bannon, Trump's asshole. Trump had two assholes and had to get rid of Bannon because he had a colostomy. Steve Bannon shocked troops at Madison Cawthorn's holy war. He's claiming a holy war going on. Schools requiring the teachers of only patriotic education. We are well down the rabbit hole towards as a fascist America. None of this is normal. I never heard of this. It's called the holy war. Schools are requiring the teachers to teach only patriotic education. What the hell is patriotic education? I don't know. I might be with Bannon on this one. I never heard of this before. Patriotic education?
I have no idea.
Oh, boy. What's going on with this world? Let me see. Let me see if there is such a thing. And teachers are doing it? Yeah, it's a thing. Patriotic education is a form of political education. Essentially, it's efforts to teach people to love America, and that usually starts with the children in the schools. Wow. That's what they're teaching our kids?
No wonder
Wow.
we have a bunch of fucked up kids today.
I know, don't we? Don't we really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I hate when they give shit names. You know, when they give shit names, then all of a sudden it becomes real. There's no such thing as patriotic education. Well, there is. God bless America. We sing it all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny. That's a song that most people can't get to the second verse. Ellen, see how far you can get with the song, God Bless America. Go ahead. Let's see how far you get. It's a patriot song. We sang it every time we were in school. Did you guys ever sing it? Did you ever salute the flag, say the national anthem in school?
Yeah, we said the Pledge of Allegiance in school.
We said it every... Okay, let's see you say it. Let's see how well you remember it. Go. The Pledge of Allegiance.
Oh, my God.
Go ahead. To your flag. Be a patriot.
I am a patriot. You say the pledge. Let's see how far you can get.
Okay, let's see how far I can get. Seriously. Okay. I put my right. I remember the drill. The cult drill. All right, children, place your right hand over your heart. Oh, really? Yeah, you too, Brian. That's not your heart. Get your hand off your penis and put it on your heart. Quit being silly. You're going to get in the corner again. I remember it well, those days. Stop it. Quit playing with that. Nobody wants to. Why are you bringing your penis to show and tell? Get in the corner again. Okay. What's wrong with you? You know what I mean? I remember those days well. But that's where my heart is,
yeah,
Mrs. Yeah. I remember.
Yeah,
those
how many
days.
Times were your parents called into school for that?
Many, many times. We had to change our number many times. Hello, I want to talk to you about your son. I have six sons. Which one? Brian, who? Brian, who? We do not recognize him as part of this family.
Yeah, I don't
call
have
the neighbors.
Name Brian.
Exactly. He was raised by wolves. We found him by a tree limb. All right. Pledge of Allegiance. Exactly. Pledge of Allegiance. Here we go. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, with liberty and justice for all?
No.
Was that
indivisible,
it?
Indivisible with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, okay. All right. Cool. All right. Now, since you did that, you challenged me to do that. I did it. Let's see how far you get to God Bless America lyrics. Go.
I don't remember God Bless America. We hardly
you, didn't
sang
you,
it.
Didn't you do that when you were in school? Okay, I'll start it off. I'll start it. Yes, you did. I mean, it's the patriot cult song of America.
We just did the Pledge of Allegiance. We didn't sing God Bless America.
Oh, everybody sung God. Every assembly and everything, everybody. Okay, let me see. I'll start it. Jump in with the words that you know. Let's see how far we get, okay? Jump in. No, I seriously, because... I'll try to carry you for the song. Let's see how far we get. This cult song about America that we love with this patriotic education bullshit. Okay. God bless America. Land that... That's when Cindy just shut the door on me. She just slammed the door, shut everything. How rude. I was being a patriot. Oh, my God. Being a patriot, too. I had enough of this. That's what it was. You made a point. Oh, you heard it. I got to oil that door for some. Well, you know what I do? I keep it squeaky so I know I don't get surprised at nighttime. Somebody's going to, you know, chop me up or something. I'll hear that. I have my one eye open. All right, she's roaming around somewhere. What's going on here? You know what I mean? It's like an alarm. Oh, she's out of the belfry. She's out of the belfry. The bat's out of the belfry. You know, that's the name, her code name. The bat's out of the belfry. That's why you hear the squeak. That's the alarm. Oh, shit. She's moving. She's stirring. Here we go. I'm not going to oil that sucker. That's the alarm. Land that I love, stand beside her, and guide her. Go ahead, line through the night with the light from above. Come on. Okay, you know this one. From the mountains to the prairies. Come on. To the oceans white with foam. God bless America. My home, sweet home. That, there you go. There you go. There you go. You got to be a true patriot to sing that bad. All right, everybody, thanks for coming into the show. Thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for supporting the show. As you can see, that Joe put us on, he got the train, and he derailed it today, or he put it on another track to save Trump. I want to thank Joe for coming in the studio. Thank him so much. I do kid around with Joe, but I like him a lot. Thank you, Joe, for coming in. I also want to thank Angela for coming in. She said something about her feet. I have no idea what that is. Of course, I want to thank Ellen J. And Ellen J., you do have your gifts and things. And one more time, Ellen J., please tell the people how they can buy it and what's on sale and whatever thing you got.
Well, yep, like Brian was saying, I do have my online business, and I am with direct sales. And for today only, if you've ever heard of Tastefully Simple, you can contact me because today only we're offering our Asian garlic dip. You can get $2 off with the code MONSTER1. It's the word monster and the number one, and it'll give you $2 off at checkout. So
there you go. That's a great deal.
Contact
you
got
it. You know, I have dipped many Asians myself, and they taste really good with the dips. It's hard to get their feet in that little cup, but when you dip an Asian, man, sweet. So get Ellen's Asian dip. There you go. And you could dip an Asian. All right, everybody, we'll see you guys tomorrow. Thank you for listening, and we're going to send you off with this. Thank you, Ellen. Seriously, I know you woke up early for this show. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you, guys. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
I'm just joking about that.
I know you are. You love the show, and the show loves you. I know. You love the show. You know what? I'm sending this song out to you. Here you go. You guys, see you guys tomorrow on Brian Hammer Jackson Show.
I get up, I get down, and I'm jumping around. And the rumpus and ruck, it's a comfortable night. Been a hell of a ride, but I'm thinking it's time to grow. So I got an apartment across from the park. Put some wine in my fridge, still I'm not feeling gross. Been a hell of a ride, but I'm thinking it's time to go.
Here we go. I'm gonna puke, cause my taxes are due. Do my best, we'll begin with a one or a two. Been a hell of a ride, but I'm thinking it's time to grow.
Metronome.
Man, I'm up to something. Ooh,
doo-dee-la-dee-do, thank you all for coming. I hope you like the show, cause it's on a budget. So oo-dee-la-dee-do, yeah, come on, here we go, yeah, come on,
here we go.
Face on, everybody pretend you know this song. Everybody come hang, let's go out with a bang.
Bang, 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 here we go.
I just got one last thing on Facebook. I don't usually read it before I go. Somebody was upset that I was talking about fat girls. Of all the things. All the things. From the show. For almost 3 hours, they stuck with the fat girls. Listen, I have nothing against you Buffalo girls, you Buffalo gals. There was a song where you Buffalo gals come running around. Like a stampede. All I'm saying to you is if you see somebody drastically overweight, tragedy. That's it. Tragedy. It's a shame. There's a reason why. There's a lot of mental illness going on there.
Now you got the Bee Gees in my head. Tragedy.
Was there a song? Tragedy?
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And you see it. You see it in Walmart. You see these girls. When I say girls, and I'm talking girls, you see these girls 13, 14, and they weigh like 200 pounds. First of all, that's child abuse. What are they feeding that girl? Second of all, it's an eating disorder. Third of all, that's one happy person. That's one unhappy person that has mental illness. It's a tragedy. But the good thing about it is when you have sex with them, you can do anything you want with them. You can tie them up.
Oh, my God.
You could. You can spank them. They're just happy that you joined the party. All right, everybody. Vote for me. I'm running for mayor. This is Brian the Hammer Jackson, along with Ellen J. And don't forget to visit Ellen J's things. What's in your joy box? Ellen, give some more. And take a look at her joy box. It's very interesting. And we'll see you guys tomorrow. I'll give you a call, Ellen. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.